Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carefree Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
Away.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to RuggedEvo.com. That's RuggedEvo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Root Rock Salon. Healthy roots, healthy hair. Our expert stylists will help you shine naturally beautiful. We offer everything from hydrating shampoo, conditioning hair masks, oil steam treatments to lock in the cuticle and an array of natural styles and programs to promote healthy hair growth using professional products. Book your consultation today online at RootsRockSalon.com. Visit us at 72 Harrison Avenue, West Orange, New Jersey, or call us at 973-957-7800.
What is success? I'm Kerry Hines, and to me, what success is relative. So whatever you think is success. That's what it means. But I'm here to tell you that success is not really some kind of a far off destination. And you really shouldn't look at it that way. I said something a while back, pretty much when I was writing How to Get Rich in the Hair Business, several years back, I'll say. I remember very well thinking about success and what that meant. And I coined a phrase, I really did, I coined a phrase that I still live by. And it says something like, I live in success. And I really mean that. And as I said, even to this day, it's a phrase that I often tell folks because I believe that success is today. And if you are working at your craft, if you are pursuing or following your passion, if you have the basic necessities that might prevent others from being able to do the same, then you, my friend, you are living in success. You'll find out a whole lot more about that in my book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. It's on Amazon. Again, I'm Kerry Hines. Up next is our daily running of Miss Maggie Anderson's piece on supporting black businesses. Stay tuned.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community, my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest with us today. She actually is a hairstylist, and I should say a superstar celebrity hairstylist and author. It is the Hair Radio Morning Show's great honor to welcome Miss Kim Berry. Good morning, Kim. Good morning to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It is truly a great special honor for us. Let's just start and jump right on in. We need to tell everybody what makes you a celebrity superstar stylist. One of your most notable clients, of course, the one and only Prince. Let's start there, Kim. First, tell us a little bit about yourself first. Now, you're based out where? Where are you based?
Los Angeles, California, born and raised.
Oh, really? You were actually born in, I don't know anybody who was actually born in Los Angeles.
Yes, born and raised. My mother and father are from the country, North Carolina and Tennessee, so everybody thinks I'm from the country because I got their ways, but I'm born and raised in Cali.
Well, listen, we have a lot in common because same thing here. My parents are from North Carolina, and I lived out in Los Angeles. But you were actually born there, so that is amazing. I love that. So now tell everybody, you are a celebrity stylist. I call you a celebrity stylist. Sometimes folks, some of the hairstylists don't want to be known as a celebrity stylist. They don't want to be referred to that way. Does it bother you when someone says celebrity stylist?
No, I actually like it. I'm sorry. I was like, you worked in the industry long enough. You owe your dues. I appreciate the tag. I appreciate
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you definitely fit the bill. So I want to, well, absolutely. First of all, you have notably one of the most famous clients in the world. There is very, very few folks other than the late Prince who would be on par if there was such. So let's turn to that. Let's go back a little bit, Kim. Now, I also want to tell everybody, first of all, one of the reasons you've been out, you've talked a little bit, I saw some things online, you have authored a book that kind of chronicles a lot of this, I'm sure, which I'm very proud about. And that book is called Diamonds and Curls with a Z. I love that on the end there.
Yeah.
Yes, and about your life working with Prince. So let's start at the beginning. I know you've been asked a lot of these questions I've seen, but I think it's a remarkable story. And I'm very excited to have you on board. So let's start at the beginning. How did this all come about? Now, what I did uncover, which I thought was a hilarious story, I did catch part of it where the Prince's former stylist before you pretty much quit on the job, so to speak. Can you do you remember that, sir? Can you please tell our audience? I think it's hilarious how just the thought of it cracks me. Yes, please share that story, Kim.
Yes, I had been actually dating Prince's bodyguard, and I just kept asking him, you know, get me a job.
Well, now,
you know,
that wasn't
so
Big Coco,
together.
Was it?
Yes, it was Big
Coco.
Okay. And so I had done my research. Yes, I had been dating him for a while. And so finally he started taking me around to the camp, and I would hang around, you know, at the video shoots and photo shoots and things. So Prince is very astute and always watching the area. So he knows when there's someone new in the area. So he's always watching you. So I had been, like, I'd go whenever I go to the sets, I would always go to wherever the hairstylist and the makeup artist was. So finally I met Tanya, who was his stylist at the time, and so we just clicked, and, you know, you just meet genuine people and you become friends. And so she and I were hanging out, and she was just complaining one day, and she was like, you know what, I'm tired of doing this. I want to go home. I don't want to live out of a suitcase. And I was like, girl, you got the best job in the world. She's like, it's not what you think. And I said, Lord have mercy. I said, once I, it's funny how you covet someone else's life, but you don't know what they go through in the course of a day. And so she was like, it's not what you think, Kim. And I said, I think you work for the biggest entertainer in the world. And she was like, Kim, it's not what you think. And sure enough, my mother used to tell us all the time, you know, be careful, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And she went into, we were on a video set, I forgot what set it was that he was shooting that day, but she went into the room with Prince, and he snatched a comb out of her hand. And she said, you know what? She said, my lips are chapped from kissing your little black ass. I'm out of here. And she literally, after the video set, she packed her stuff up and she left. And I said, when you call it a holy hookup, that I was standing there and got this introduction. I had been hanging out with her. I had formed a friendship. And so the people in the camp knew who I was, you know. And it was just interesting that what God has for you is for you, and not even the gates of hell going to keep you from it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And see, she quit, and I call it the holy hookup, that I was standing there. They were going to Germany the next day, and so they left to go to Germany. He said, tell Tanya to get the salon ready. And all the team was like, no, Tanya quit. Because, you know, Prince is used to being Prince, so he talks crazy to you, and the next day, of course, he knows you're going to be there. No,
right.
This day, Tanya packed her stuff and left. And so he said, so what do you mean? I'm going to Germany without a hairstylist? And they were like, yeah, they didn't know what to tell him. And so he was baffled, so they had to hire somebody when they got there. He hated the person. He wound up doing his own hair for the show that night. And so they come back to Los Angeles, and Coco said, get your stuff ready. He said, meet me at this club in Beverly Hills. And he said, bring your portfolio. I got my portfolio. And one thing my parents used to always instill in me, you know, if you stay ready, like the rapper say, you ain't got to get ready.
That's
so
right.
I had been doing photo shoots. I had been stacking pictures. I had my book ready. Went to the club. They had already made preparations for me to get in. And God was just awesome. It was just a move of God. So we laid the book on the table. I approached him. He looked at me like, how did you get to my table? And I was like, my name is Kim Berry. I know you don't have a hairstylist, I said, and I'd love to, you know, do your hair. And so he looked at me. He opened the book. He said, so you do hair, you know, in his, you know, snide remark way. And I said, yeah. He said, you got a salon? I said, yeah. He said, go hook it up. And so I already knew. I had been watching her, following everything she was doing, and I noticed on her table, she had this hairspray, I went and bought it. If she had this gel, I went and bought it. So I was duplicating her table, never thinking that I would ever get the opportunity to do Prince, but I said, if she's using it, I'm going to use it, because she's a celebrity stylist. And so my dad used to tell me growing up, preparation, success is when preparation meets opportunity. When the opportunity presents itself, will you be prepared? And literally, the opportunity presented itself. I went to the salon. I blacked out the windows. I knew how to do that. I got the salon ready. And about an hour later, I get a phone call, and he said, Kim, this is Prince. And I said, oh, my God. And so he says, yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it. I said, oh, okay, well, no problem. I said, next time, you know, you in Los Angeles, just know you got a hairstylist. He said, well, do you travel? Now, mind you, I'm 19, 20 years old. I ain't never left Inglewood, let alone California. And so I said, yes. And yes just popped out of my mouth. And I was like, oh, my God, what did I just say? He said, okay, great. He said, we're sending a car to come pick you up. He said, meet us at the airport. I said, I'm sorry, what? He said, is there a problem? I said, no. He said, I said, oh, my God, in my mind, I'm freaking out. And so I was like, meet him at the airport. I was like, wait a minute, what's happening? But that's just how Prince does. He get down. Everybody that you know that has worked for him has the same remarkable story. Like, it's on the spot. You're getting hired. And wow. So I called my mother. I hung up the phone, and I called my mother. I was like, oh, my God, I just talked to Prince. She said, stop lying. I said, no. I just talked to Prince. I said, he said that they're sitting in the car. I said, I don't have no clothes. I don't have no. She said, you better get to that airport. She said, take your curling irons and your hairspray, and you get to that airport. And she said, I'm going to send you some money in the morning. You go to Target, buy you some clothes, and you keep on moving. I said, oh, my God. So I literally took the coat on my back and my curling irons and jumped in. They sent the limousine. I went to LAX. Him and his brother was on the plane. I walked past them, sat down on the plane, flight booked, everything.
When
first
you say
time
on
thought,
a plane,
no.
Was this a commercial plane?
No, commercial
or?
Airline, yes.
Okay.
So for most part, he did commercial. And I just couldn't believe it was happening. I was like, oh, my God, there's Prince. And went and got on, sat down on the plane. And first time I got off the plane, I saw snow. I was like, oh, my God, it's
that's
Christmas
like you're
Eve.
From California. That's
yes.
Right.
So Seasons was the first time I met Seasons, was traveling with Prince. And so saw snow. I got to the gates open to Paisley Park, and I was like, oh, my God, it does exist. Wow. They walk me through the back door. I go upstairs to the hair salon in the back room. And it was just amazing. I'm like, oh, my God, this is happening. So his brother walks in. His brother said, okay, you're going to do me first. And I said, okay, great. So I'm trained for this. So my beauty school teacher would hand me 6 or 7 towels at a time, train me on speed, train me on ability. And he said, look, he said, quality and then quantity, never sacrificing one for the other. He said, your first head needs to look as good as your last head. So I said, okay, got it. I've already been trained, got it. I've already been putting it in my path and getting me ready for the opportunity such as this. And I did his brother hair and 4 women that were there hanging out with them that night, and one behind the other, bam, knocking down heads. So his brother said, okay, well, he'll be in a few minutes. I said, okay, 1 hour goes by. 2 hours go by. I'm sitting there. I'm looking around. Now, I'm in Paisley Park. You can see the Purple Rain jacket in the corner, a raspberry beret outfit. There's jewelry laying around. I sat there with my hands in my lap, and I said, Mama used to say, if you go in somebody else's house, you don't touch nothing that don't belong to you. I sat right there for 2.5 hours with my hands in my lap. I said, okay, I don't know what's going on, but if they don't know that I know that it's a camera's watching me, I said, okay. So finally, his brother.
Well, you were very smart for 19, though.
Absolutely.
That was very
absolutely.
Wild.
Absolutely, yeah. Mama didn't play that.
They taught
mama
you very trained well.
Absolutely. So I sat there, and his brother stuck his head in the door and said, you didn't steal nothing, did you? I said, excuse me, first of all. I said, Mom, I knew this was a test. I said, my mom ain't raised no fools. I said, second of all, quit playing with me. I got to go to the bathroom. He said, you could have went to the bathroom. So he's laughing at me. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, no, I ain't moving through this man's house. This is his house. And so I stayed right there. And so he said, okay, for real. So I got settled. And he said, okay, for real. He coming in a few minutes. I said, don't you leave me sitting here. Now, mind you, Paisley Park is a self-contained. They call it a creative battleship. And so inside Paisley Park, there's kitchens. So they can make their own food. There's studios. There's a hair salon. There's a dance studio, there's a disco, there's a performance area. That, like, this place is massive.
And when there are elevators inside there. We saw a little bit of it. There are elevators inside there.
It's a complete compound. It is
compound,
amazing.
Yeah.
Even now, when Oprah Winfrey came, Oprah Winfrey was like, I thought Harpo Studios was huge. She said, my studio will fit inside of here. She said, this is massive. So if you would have pressed Oprah Winfrey, you know you're doing something.
You got that right. And
yes,
I've only known one or two to do that. So you're right.
Absolutely, yes. And
wow.
So finally, Prince stuck his head in the door, and I was like, oh, my God, he's so little. Like, it didn't matter. Like, when you see Prince on stage, he's larger than life. He is this huge entity. But when you see him in person, he's a small stature man. He's
That's
very
right.
quiet. He's very humble. He's very meek. And he used to ask me all the time, you know, I got like 10 personalities. I was like, yeah, I met all of them. So it's a different prince in every element of the, but he stuck his head in the door. He said, yeah, I love your work. He said, but, you can't, he said, you can't have those nails in my head. He said, I'm tender-headed. I said, okay, click, 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 click. I just started breaking off all 10 nails right there in front of it. He started laughing. He said, oh, my God. He said, you are so funny. He said, okay, yeah, you're going to work. He said, go back to the hotel. We're going to Miami in the morning. I said, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I said, you're not getting your hair done? He said, no, I'm good. Don't worry about it. It's too late. He said, "Well, I'll see you in Miami. I'll see you at the airport." I was like, oh, my God. So I'm packing up my stuff, and I'm just like, so did I just get hired? What just happened? I was like, oh, my God. So we get to Miami. We stay there for a few days. He says, him, order whatever you want. He said, just hang out. I'll let you know when I'm ready to get my hair done. I said, okay. But a few days later, he called me. He said, we're going to Chicago in the morning. I said, you're not getting your hair done? He said, don't worry about me. I'm good. I said, okay. So I called my mother. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm moving from city to city. My mom said, just keep going, keep going. She had sent me some money. I went to Target before we got on the airplane. I bought me some clothes. I said, oh, my God. I was like, what is happening? I was asking my mother. I said, who lives like this? My mother said, you do. And that's when my reality shifted, and I was like, I'm a celebrity hairstylist. Like, I'm rolling with Prince. So Prince rolls with his bodyguard, his hairstylist, and sometimes that's just it, his bodyguard and his hairstylist. But we were going from city to city. They were partying. They were doing their thing. And every night he called me, Kim, you good? Okay, just get what you want. Just let, you know, I'll see you in the next city. Finally, we get to New York. And I had been with him like 2 weeks that by then. He still didn't get his hair done. He said, Kim, get the salon ready. I said, okay, here we go. So I get the salon. I find the salon. I got a private room. I set everything up. I got everything laid out exactly how he's used to seeing it. So and knowing that he's a creature of habit, I had studied Tanya's habits. Yes. And so I got ready. He walked in. We had a consultation. He said, okay, I want color. I want a perm. He said, you know, I need a cut. And he said, so, you know, let's do it. Now, before we get to him, his brothers tell me on the way to the salon, don't touch his ears. Don't look him in the face. Don't do this. Don't spill water on him. I said, wait a minute, Jack. Y'all making me nervous. I said, I do this for a living. Don't you mess me up. And he said, no. He said, and what was funny was everything they told me don't do, I did. I said, but Prince took it all in stride. And when I tell you that I hooked that hair up. I said, Kim, breathe. I said, you got this. Relax. He ain't no different than nobody else.
He's just a person.
I said,
exactly.
Yeah, I said, you do this. I spilled water down his face while he was in the shampoo bowl. He said, okay, lady, wait a minute. It tastes like you're trying to drown me. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I touched him up. Got it back together. We finished that hair. He looked in the mirror, did his little left-right look. He spun around on them heels. He was like, okay. He said, see you later. He said, your limo's waiting for you outside. And he spun around on them heels and disappeared into a puff of purple smoke. And I was like, I looked out the window. The limo driver was waving at me. He said, I was like, okay, Kim, yeah, you a celebrity hairstylist. I said, wow. And literally I've been rolling with him for 29 years after that. It was the most amazing journey I had ever experienced, you know. And I take nothing for granted. I thank God that he could have chose anyone else. And he did. There were other hairstylists that came in and out throughout my career. But Kim always got the call to come back.
Wow.
And it was beautiful. Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, I can speak to one thing only with regards to ever seeing Prince. I saw him one time live.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I ran into him in Los Angeles. I remember this. It was the early 90s, and myself and one of my colleagues and at the time, we were in the airline business, of course, and I remember flying out to Los Angeles. And we showed up at this club. It was all the rage back in the early 90s. It was on Sunset, called Roxbury.
Yeah.
And Prince was there. We were on a second floor. And they let us into Roxbury. Now, this Roxbury club, they had, when I tell you they had all these fancy cars pulling up.
Absolutely.
And I do mean fancy. It was right there off that little turn off Sunset. It was on Sunset, if I recall.
Yeah,
and I remember all these fancy cars. Now, my friend Richard and I, we showed up. Do you remember the station wagons that had the little panel on the side?
Yes,
you may not go back that far, Kim, but they had station wagons with the panel on the side. Now, we showed up at the Roxbury getting out of a station wagon with the panel on the side.
Right.
And we go up to the door, and the gentleman says, you know, he looks at our ID. He sees we're from New York. He knows that we are definitely not the typical caliber that's coming into the club. Well, we didn't know this. I don't even remember how we ended up there, but we didn't know it at the time. So we go in, and we heard that Madonna's dancers were there, and they had all these people. We didn't hear that Prince was there, but they had all these other celebrities who were there. And we ended up on, they had a balcony on the second floor, and who do we see but Prince. We're seated on the second floor. Prince literally walks by with, we assumed, his bodyguard.
Yes.
It was he and one fellow. That was it. So it kind of fits in with everything that you said. And he just walks by us, but the bodyguard gives us a look like, don't approach him, don't ask. So we did.
Right.
And he walked by. He wasn't much taller than us sitting down as he walked by, and I'm not exaggerating. And that was the only time that I've ever had any run-in, if you want to call it a run-in, but he walked right by me. So I never forgot that. Now, I have to say, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the All-New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very special guest with us today, her name is Kim Berry, and she is what I, by all accounts, to be a celebrity superstar hairstylist, and she is also an author, and her book, so super popular out there, called Diamonds and Curls, and that's with a Z, and this is about her life story with none other than Prince, the superstar. So I have to say, Kim, let's pick up with that. Or even go back a little bit. Now, where did all of this come from? I know that you were in, you had gone to beauty school and all that, but what about before that? What inspired you out in the California and the L.A. area to get into hair care and all of that? What was that inspiration? And then we'll move to the book. Where did that come from?
What's really hilarious is I had no inclination, never thought about being a hairstylist.
Really?
I was going to school. I was going to be a doctor, and I was going to, you know, whatever, you know, life was going to take me. I had graduated early from high school, top 10% of my class.
Wow.
So I told Mom, I said, I did everything you told me to do. I said, I'm taking a year off. She said, a year off? I said, yeah. I said, I'm not going to college right away. I'm just going to chill out. I said, and you know, just find myself. I said, I didn't, you know, have no babies. I brought you a diploma. I did everything you told me to do. I said, now I'm just going to chill. She said, okay, great. So about 2 or 3 months into that, she said, what you getting ready to do? I said, I'm sorry, what are you talking about? I said, I'm taking a year off. I'm just going to chill. And she said, no, ma'am. She said, ain't but one queen in this house. She said, so you going to get up, you going to get a job, you going to school, or you going to get the hell out of my house? Oh. I said, wait a minute. I'm the baby. I done did everything. I did everything you told me to do. I said, I can't chill. I said, the boys is chilling. Why I can't chill? She said, Kim, did you hear what I said? So I got mad, went walking up the street down to Crenshaw Boulevard in L.A., and walked up into Pacific Beauty College. So I just walked in. I said, let me go see what they talking about in here. And walked in Pacific Beauty College, sat down at the table with Mr. Cedric Goins, the owner of the school. He told me everything about his beauty college and what it entailed. And I was like, well, forget it. I'm going to just do this for the meantime just to get her off my back. So before I knew it, Mr. Goins had me signing on the dotted line. He said, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I said, wait, tomorrow? School start tomorrow? He said, yes. He said, I'll see you tomorrow. He said, make sure your lab coat is bright and white. Make sure your shoes is clean because I will lock you outside. I said, I'm sorry. What did I just sign up for? So sure enough, got my things ready for school. I came home, brought the paperwork, showed it to my mother. I said, well, I hope you happy. I go to beauty school now. She said, I hope you happy. And went in her room to close the door. I said, oh, my God. I said, this lady here. I said, what did I do? So sure enough, went to beauty school. Every day there was a teacher there, Miss Cooper. She used to ask me every day, what are you doing here, Barry? I said, I'm here because my mother making me come here. She said, oh, really? She said, oh, well, you know by the end of these 12 months, I'm going to turn you into a hairstylist. I said, you're not going to turn me into nothing. I'm just here because I gotta be here so my mother stay off my back. She said, yeah, okay. So sure enough, about 6 months into the course, Mind you, this is a 12-month course that I finished in 9 months because I was so mad. I did not miss a day. I went every day. I wanted to get this over with. I was mad. I joined in the middle of the summer. My friends are like, Kim, come on, we're going to the beach. We're going to Disneyland. We go. I said, no, I got to go to school. I'm not playing with y'all. I'm going to knock this out. In the course of being in beauty school, I met a young sister named Pat who had been there for almost 4 years. I said, you know that's not real college, right? You know we supposed to get out of here and live here. So I knew that I wasn't going to prolong this no longer than I had to. So sure enough, 6 months into the course, they did a statewide competition. 200 kids came out from all over California. You had to bring a model. We didn't know that it was a head-to-toe competition. I just happened to tell one of my homegirls, can I use you as a model? She was like, yeah. So I said, okay, I knew she was an only child, spoiled rotten. I said, okay, bring your stuff. Her mother had bought her like 6 or 7 prom dresses. She came dressed to the nines. When I tell you, beautiful gown, gloves, diamonds, the whole nine. So, for the getting her ready for the hair show, I was like, do you mind if I cut your hair? She was like, yeah, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. I turned my sister's hair orange. I turned it pink. I said, oh, my God. I kept going back to Ms. Cooper, like, can you help me? She said, no, go to your textbook. Now, mind you, she helping everybody in the school. I said, oh, my God. I was like, you helping this person? You helping that person? She said, go back to your textbook. I was like, what in the world? So I said, okay. Finally figured out her hair color, got her color corrected, got her straight. We go to the competition. Like I said, my girl showed up, head to toe, beautiful gown, hair, butter was whipped. So we get to the competition. It's a 2-day competition. Out of 200 kids, I placed top 10. So out of the top 10, the top 10 come back the next day. And she showed up again, bam, banging hair, bam, banging dress, outfit, outstanding. We get to the competition out of top 10. Kim Berry takes first place. When
Get
they hand me
here.
The trophy, absolutely. When they hand me the trophy and the check, Ms. Cooper walks over to me and she said, no help from her, mind you. She was watching from a distance, though. She said, didn't I tell you I was going to turn you into a hairstylist? I said, oh, my God. I said, so I didn't know I was getting Mr. Miyagi's wax on, wax on, wax on. Wax. It was so intricate of how all of these people played a part in my journey to get me to the finish line. Like I said, Mr. Goins, the owner of the school, built my speed up. Ms. Cooper made sure that my technique was on point because everything was by the book. She took me out of class early one Easter and made me go on the floor. And I was like, oh, my God. I said, I don't have no business on the floor. I just started in beauty school. She said, you got this, Kim. I'm doing this lady's hair. Did a pocket curl, burned this lady's hair. She walked up to me. She said, Kim, she said, did you burn this lady's hair? I said, absolutely not. She walked through this lady's head and found the exact spot. I had took the curl, put it in my pocket. They call it a pocket curl. Put the curl in my pocket. I was like, she said, now the next time, she said, first of all, these people know that you're in beauty school. Now the next time I ask you, did you make a mistake, just say yeah. I was like, oh, my God, I'm embarrassed. I'm going to leave the floor. I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going to shrink up. She said, these people know that you're in beauty school, so it's okay. They're willing to take the risk because they know that, you know, you're learning. I was like, wow, who knew? I said, I was so embarrassed. She was like, now finish this lady's hair and let's keep on going. And so they gave the lady a little gift certificate to come back and get her hair done again and, you know, for free and all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, oh, my God. I said, didn't even know that all of this was building me up, building my character to get me ready for the real test that I was about to, you know, the journey that I was about to partake in. So everybody along your path, you have to know that it's some form of an angel, some form of a teacher. So it was just an incredible journey getting to this point because I never thought about doing hair, didn't want to be a hairstylist. Knocked that 12-month course out in 9 months when I graduated, and still 30 years later went back to the beauty school. Mr. Goins said, I always talk about you. I tell all my students about Kim Berry, that Kim Berry is a celebrity hairstylist. Matter of fact, our school is one of the highest ones that has most of the celebrity hairstylists. Candida Farmer, Candida is a celebrity hairstylist. Everyone knows her in California. Pam Farmer, celebrity makeup artist. Kim Liu is another celebrity makeup artist who graduated from our school. So we produce some of the biggest.
Apparently.
Yes, makeup and hair artists that work in the industry to this date in California. Like, it was just amazing how they all led a part in my journey. And It's just amazing. When I look back on it, I thank God. I don't take nothing for granted, and I bless God for every part of my journey.
Absolutely. I love everything that you have said. And I have to tell you, I got to go back to one part which just cracks me up. I can't wait to, you know, just to remind everybody better. But it reminds me so much. I love your journey, and we have so much in common. But I think this is every black mama who says,
yeah.
You can't, because I swear to you, it's the same story. I had grown up thinking that I'm going to just lay in the house when I graduated high school and thinking I'm just going to sit around the house, you know, and I don't have to go to school now, so great.
Right.
Man, my mama, she told me you're going to get a job or go to school or get out,
right.
Literally
That's
in
right.
that order. And so
that's
when you,
right.
I said, oh, my God, you brought back memories. So I'm sure that's every black mama in
yes.
America. We don't play that stuff. We
no,
really
mama
don't.
No, don't play that.
Not
mama
at all.
Yes.
And especially from North Carolina. Anybody from North
right.
Carolina, ain't nobody playing that kind of thing. Now, let
that's
me
right.
tell you, I love this. I love the story. You are just amazing. If you're just tuning in, I better bring everybody up to speed. You're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. This is a very, very special interview this morning with none other than I'm calling you the superstar celebrity hairstylist, Miss Kim Berry. Again, we're welcoming you to the show. She's also the author of Diamonds and Curls, and that's Curls with a Z. So when you guys are out there Googling it or going on to Amazon or picking up the book, definitely you want to search it correctly. So tell us about this amazing book. Now, I've seen some of the things online. Tell us about Diamonds and Curls.
Yes, Diamonds and Curls is my memoirs, 29 years rolling with rock royalty. That's my book. Working for one of the most iconic stars in the world. Like, you know, I tell everybody this little girl from the hood did good, you know. It was just amazing of how basically our lives were so intertwined, he and I together. We literally grew up together. And because most marriages, like I said, I outdid both of his marriages. He was only married for 4 years apiece. And I outlived his lawyers, his doctors, his wives. You know, I was there when his mother died, when his father died, when his baby died. I was there for some of the most intricate highs and some of the worst lows of his life. And God chose me to walk alongside this man, you know. So I'm telling intimate stories of literally how I, you know, was there. Some of the stories were just, it was just he and I, like, you know, and how we laughed together, how we prayed together, how we bagged on each other's mamas together. Like, it was just the most incredible journey. So I'm not telling the stories about, you know, book sales and, you know, concerts and all that. There's enough of those books out there. I'm telling the more intimate side. Nothing scandalous, nothing salacious. Just literally our everyday life of how I walked alongside, you know, one of the most, like I said, biggest names of our time, that he literally created the soundtrack to our lives, you know. And I'm telling the intimate stories, the part that people would never get a glimpse of unless, you know, I pulled the curtain back. One of my hashtags is behind the purple curtain, and showing people what life was like on an everyday journey with this man.
Now, did I uncover somewhere that you were not necessarily a Prince fan at first, you know, before you started working with him in that way? You were aware of him and his music, but you weren't necessarily like the number one fan. So
nope.
How did that happen, or how did it come about, and did that change along the way?
Well, hanging around him, you have to become a fan. He teaches you what real music is.
Yes.
I had knew his popular things, Little Red Corvette, Kiss. I remember watching Kiss on a video, just watching it, and I was
you
just
knew
staring.
The 80s.
Friend. Yes. So yeah. I knew of him, but I, like I said, never thought that I would wind up working with him. I wasn't a fan, and so I think that's another reason what kept me around so long, because I wasn't so geeked out and tripping off of him when I got around him. It was a job for me to do. I showed up, like one of the fans said on my page yesterday, I would have just kissed him, you know, and I said, and you would have just been fired. So, you know what I mean? So I didn't fan out over him. I wasn't geeked out. I showed up every day. I did what I was supposed to do. I tell people all throughout the book that I served him as if he was God himself, you know, because everything that I do, my mother had already instilled in me, you do it with excellence, you know, and whether it be the trash man or the biggest man on the totem pole, you serve everybody with respect, and you do it with excellence. And so it was nothing for me to show up every day. Like, it was a blur. It went by in a blur, because it was just what I did every day. I served this man. I was with him sometimes 6 months out of the year, gone away from my family. I miss holidays. I miss, you know, big things. Even, you know, I was telling some people, my daughter's first steps, once my daughter was born, I missed my daughter's first steps being on the road with Prince. I came home off the road. My mother said, I have a surprise for you. And my daughter came walking across the floor. I was like, no, like I missed my daughter's first steps. You know, so you miss some big things in life at home. But, you know, family was able to enjoy some beautiful things. They were able to travel the world with me sometime, my mom and my daughter. And you know, but they had some beautiful Christmas and holidays because of Prince, you know. So, I said, so it was awesome. The exchange was well worth it, you know, the exchange. So a lot of my friends were like, oh, if I were you, I wouldn't take, because Prince talked crazy to you and expect you to be there in the morning. I wouldn't take this off of him. And, you know, I wouldn't let him say that to me. I said, okay, let me see now. You at home on your mama's couch, and I'm in Switzerland in one of the most beautiful hotels in the world. So don't tell me what you won't take off somebody, because I said, you'll do what you got to do to get the job done. So all those stories will be. So right now, Volume 1 is out now, and I'm actually going to re-release Volume 1 April 22nd of next year. I'm looking forward to adding some new stories to the book, what I'm doing is 10-year chronicles at a time. So I'm doing, Volume 2 and Volume 3. So the fans have looking forward. So they're already chomping at the bit and asking, when's the next book coming out? Because I ended every book on a cliffhanger. So each one will end. So, you know, back in the day when we had Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boy Mysteries,
the
book will be like that. And so each book will end on a cliffhanger leading you to the next book. Instead of doing, you know, this big, thick Bible-type book, it's like putting 30 years in one book. I didn't want to do that to the fans. I didn't want to bore them. So there's pictures in the book, behind-the-scenes pictures. There's, like I said, stories. There's also, they always ask me, like, well, what products did you use on Prince's hair? And what what type of makeup did he use, and what type of soap? So I have what's called the endorphin. What Prince had a song called the Endorphin Machine. And so in each part of the book, there's a small section, and there's cartoons that are drawn by Mr. Gary, and then there's another brother who's an artist. His name is, oh my God, just because I'm trying to tell you, oh, his name escapes me. Anyway, there's an artist who illustrated the book, and that I'm going to tell you his name in just a few minutes.
The
brother's name is Moiselle. His name is Moiselle.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, he did these beautiful illustrations in the book. So the book is beautifully designed. And so we have the artist pictures by Moiselle. Then there's the cartoon characters that of my hairstyles all over the world. So Gary lent his expertise to the book as well. So both of those brothers, I appreciate them so much. In each part of the book, the endorphin pages are different anecdotes of, you know, things that I've shared with Prince, different hair products that I've used on him. And speaking of hair products, before Prince passed away, we were coming up with a product line, which I'm definitely going to produce. I'm bringing it to manifestation. It'll be coming out real soon. So we have a hair product line that's inspired by Prince. The fans are going to love it. It's going to be beautiful. The packaging is amazing, and I can't wait to get it to the masses. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I can't wait, because you're going to come right here to the Hair Radio Morning Show to tell everybody all about it. We're so happy for you. Well, listen,
thank you,
Kim,
so much.
I want to, absolutely. Well, I also want to find out, you know, some of the actual stylings and things like that. Now, did you go with him, like, during concerts and literally work at the concerts, or were you mainly just at the house on that before he left the house, or how did all that work?
Well, when I first started, it was the early you know, I graduated after high school and then beauty school.
Wow.
I only did stuff when he came to L.A. But as things progressed, I literally became his everyday stylist. So I traveled like I was his right hand. Like Prince didn't go anywhere without his hairstylist and his bodyguard, like I said before. So I was everywhere with him, every concert. Like people ask me to this day, were you there at this? Were you there at this party? I was at every after party. I was at every concert. I was at every. So for 29 years, if you could imagine, literally all over the world, wherever Prince was, Kim was somewhere in the background.
Wow. Now, we're just trying to wrap our brain around that, because you're talking about being a young person and literally seeing the world. Now, what about some of the other celebrities? Did you was Prince your only client during that period, or did you also do some other hits?
No, thank God. Over the years, I was able to work on, when I would come back to Los Angeles, I had the opportunity. I was good friends with Cat Williams' manager. Cat Williams has been a client of mine for the last 10 years. I just did a movie with him called 2 Minutes of Fame. It was the most hilarious event of my life. There were so many comedians: Sinbad, George Wallace, Lunell, Red Grant,
wow.
Jay Farrow, you name it. They were on set. We laughed all week. It was the most hilarious thing that I have ever done. Meet the Blacks, you know, did hair with Cat. Every one of his comedy shows that you've seen in the last 10 years, that's all Kim Berry's hairstyles on Cat Williams. DJ Quick is a client of mine. Wendy
wow.
Raquel Robinson, Loretta
yes.
Devine, Tamara Mari. God has just really been in the blessing business. I have been able to touch some of the most beautiful celebrities, and it's been a great journey. It's just been amazing, and I'm looking forward to what God is you know, going to do next. So
yeah.
Still working on photo shoots and videos to this day. So I'm still rolling in the industry. But people are like, well, what are you going to do now? Like, I was just going to crawl in a hole and die. No, when I met Prince, I was doing hair. When I die, I'm going to be doing hair. So I'm still rolling. I'm like, I tell people, don't, you ain't seen the end of me yet. So don't count me out. God ain't finished with me yet. So I'm looking forward to what God is about to do. So like I said, I have the product line coming out, the hair extension line that's going to be coming out. I'm up to some big things. God is doing it, and I'm excited about what he's about to do.
Well, I see that you're on the Hair Radio Morning Show, so we know that you're on to big things, and we love it. What I cannot wait to get into, and this is a great time to talk about this, we're excited. We're excited to have you, because we're going to be exploring having you to come back and give us a full series on
yes.
this amazing life. And I want to say it's based on Diamonds and Curls, which is your amazing book. Again, Curls is spelled with a Z. So when you Google it out there, and Kim Berry is an amazing author out there with this telling and retelling of the stories of her life with Prince for 29 years. That's a long time. So,
yes.
You talked about some of the different changes along the way, not so much changes, but some of the different experiences along the way that you had an opportunity to have a front row seat, literally, could have been a concert
literally.
Seat, but literally a front row seat to this man's extraordinary life. Was there mm-hmm. any part of it that really kind of, that you were kind of surprised, you didn't expect Mr. Prince to be that way, you know? So some kind of, you might have gone and thinking he was one way, and then come to find out he was totally different, and maybe in
yes.
a pleasant way. So anything you want to kind of share with us about any kind of thing like that?
Well, like I said, he was a practical joker.
Really?
He played jokes on people all the time. if you go back to the Morris Day times, they literally kidnapped some of the band members and came out on the stage and played for Morris. Like, if you read, I tell everybody, if you read everybody's stories. If you lined all our books up,
yes.
you know, year, you'll find out who the man Prince really was. Because one thing about it, he was consistent. He had his, I call it, you know, asshole moments.
Right.
He was mean to you. He had his moments where he was loving. He had his moments where he was hilarious. He had his moments where, you know, it was just an awesome experience all the way around.
He felt like he was an all-around person to me. That's
he really was.
Thing,
and most people, absolutely. Most people, you know, they want to make it like, oh, he floated on a cloud and, you know, he pooted purple dust. No, he was a human being. He was a man. That's what I'm telling about in my book is the humanity side of Prince, that he was a man, that he laughed, that he cried, that he desired certain things, that he longed for certain things, that he, you know, just like all of us, he put his pants on one leg at a time. And so people want to be like, oh, he's this mystic god. No, he was a human being. And he hurt, he laughed, he cried, he was human. And that's what I love about it. I'm trying to think of one moment that the Dave Chappelle moment when Dave Chappelle talked about the shirts and the blouses. That
yes.
story was absolutely true. Now, mind you, we were all sitting in the kitchen in Paisley Park, and so they had just got through, you know, having a recording session in the studio, so the band members, everybody in there, that was our normal thing, everybody hanging out in the kitchen, laughing and talking and eating lunch. And so then on comes the Dave Chappelle show. And so they do the shirts and the blouses. Now, mind you, everybody in the room is cracking up laughing. And so they're laughing because Prince is the butt of the joke. And so this is a true story that really happened. Charlie Murphy and all the crew
right.
came and played basketball against Prince. Inside Paisley Park, there's a full basketball court. Most people don't know that Prince was a basketball superstar in high school.
Wow.
And literally would go out and ball you crazy in his 6-inch heels. Do you hear me?
Wow.
Like the boy did not play. He could play some basketball. So anybody that came in Paisley Park was getting challenged to basketball, ping pong, whatever he could whoop you at, you was going to get challenged at it. And so he had a full ping pong table set up in Paisley. It was awesome all the time. And so the show came on, and I was just cracking up laughing, and he's looking at me like, that's funny to you, Kim? I said, oh, let me straighten up. No, sir, that's not funny. I said, but come on now, you know that's funny. And we laughed at Prince so hard that day, but it was just so amazing because we all knew it was true, that it really did happen. And so so it was just awesome to just be around him, you know. And when he would laugh at you, if we was having a bag session and he'd be bagging on people's mamas, him and the guys in the band would be going back and forth. He would read jokes, like books on your mama jokes. So he would clown them. He was just hilarious. And so it was funny, especially if he bagged on you and it was funny, he was going to laugh from his gut, like he would scream. Like, it was just so funny. But when it was, he was the butt of the joke. You know, he'd look at you sideways. That's funny to you, Kim? I'm like, oh, no, sir, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. He's like, I'm not laughing, Kim. And I was just like, yeah, you know this funny. I said, so he was just a real dude. And it was just amazing just to be around him, you know. And I just love it. I just love that I had the opportunity to walk alongside that man. It was so amazing.
Kim, I have to take you to this part. What do you miss most about Prince?
I really got to say his laugh. That voice, everybody was like, you know, did he talk really deep? No, well, yeah, he did. But he had the whisper, you know, especially if somebody was around that he didn't know who was in the room, he would come up behind me and whisper in my ear, who's that to your left? And who's that? I'd be like, okay, that's your lighting director. You don't know who that is. Like, it's so many people on tour, you don't know who it is. But, you know, I miss that laugh, the joy that he carried in his heart. Always joking around, just being a all-around funny dude, that laugh. I think more than anything, I'm going to miss that laugh. And the funny faces that he would make, the smirks and the side eyes and, you know, if somebody was in the room, oh, my God, like him and I would communicate literally by eyeballs. Like, do you see this fool? Like, do you see what's happening? Do you, you know, and it would be so funny, like the little things that we created over the years, you know. Him and Maite had a sign language, you know, that they yes. would speak in. And it was just all kind of stuff that, you know, he created over the years. Everybody in the camp had their own little thing with him, you know, that everybody can speak on. So that's what was just amazing. Like I said, if you line all the books up, you'll literally learn the different parts of Prince and how amazing he was.
Well, we are talking about Diamonds and Curls with a Z by the amazing celebrity superstar stylist, Miss Kim Berry, the 29-year hairstylist relationship with Prince, superstar Prince. This has been something that, to me, I think it's kind of unparalleled. I don't think I know of too many folks out there who've been with the celebrity that long. Now, maybe there's some, but very few stories. So what do your family members think now, and also your friends, and how did they react? Because sometimes friends can be a little jealous. Sometimes we're going to just put it on out there. Of the types of things that you were able to accomplish in your life. Did you ever experience that where some were a bit on the jealous side, or no?
Not really. All my friends were cool for the most part. Like
you
I
had
said,
real friends.
Yeah. You had some people, like I said, that would listen to my stories. I wasn't too many people I could talk to that was outside of the camp. So I kept it, real close to the belt. But a few people that I did tell different stories of what I was going through or how I experienced life, on the road and, being with this man. I had a few smart Alex, like I said, that would talk crazy and be like, I wouldn't take that off of him. I wouldn't let him say that to me. I'm like, don't tell me what you wouldn't say or what you wouldn't take. I said, because like I said, you at home sitting on your mama's couch and I'm literally sitting in, we went in the ice hotel in Switzerland and we traveled on camels across the sands in Egypt and walked through pyramids and, I had an amazing life with this guy. And so, it wasn't much that you could share. Like, people didn't even know that it was even me until the camera showed up on my doorstep and interviewed me, the night that Prince died and the day after Prince died and all these people. I was on 2020 and all these other, fabulous television shows, and people are like, that was you all these years, that was you. I was like, yeah, it was me, and so we collaborated on hairstyles like we collaborated, with his music and it wasn't many people that I could talk to. I had to keep it close to the belt, and the few people that did know it was me, one of my girlfriends, Shanice Wells, she would tell me all the time, she said, you so humble, you so down to earth, like people didn't know, like you would get off the plane coming from Milan, and then you'd be like, let's go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get a two-piece, because I was never geeked up, I was never haughty or high on myself. I knew what I did, I knew who I served, I knew who I walked alongside, but like I said, most people didn't know that I would be in an elevator one day, it was Lala Anthony and, a couple other, high-end girls in the radio industry, and they were talking about, girl, Prince changed his hairstyles like I change underwear,
And they didn't know you were right there.
They didn't even know that Prince stylist was standing right next to him, And so I kept it to myself, and I just rolled along because Prince was a private person, and up until the time of his death, many people didn't know much about him, So I said, there's people writing books and stories, telling stories about him that didn't even know him. They're talking about the Prince that they think they know. So who better to tell the story than the person that walked alongside him directly, And I got death threats when I decided to write the book, and people told me, you don't have any business telling his story, sit down somewhere and be quiet. Why does the little black girl have to sit down somewhere and be quiet? Why can't she tell her story? But there are people out in the industry that's selling books that's telling their story that didn't know anything about Prince, or they're telling the theoretical part of Prince. But I can tell you directly how he loved and how he spoke and how he thought and how he walked, So why don't I get to tell my story? So finally I stopped living in fear and decided to be the woman and be the person that Prince literally built me up to be. And taught me how to be, like I said, he and I grew up together and became different people because God placed us in each other's lives. So I tell people, they like, how did you think that you would been able to be there for so long? It was the God in me that saw the God in him, and he needed that around him. He needed somebody real that wasn't a yes man, that wasn't, he used to call me, his homegirl from the hood. So he used to ask me all the time, what was the pulse in the neighborhood? What were people thinking about his music? What did people think? So I literally had his ear. I literally was able to influence some of the things that Prince did in his music and throughout his career that people don't
know
about.
Are you saying Prince would ask you, like, you were kind of like your, the ear to the ground, or what are the songs we call it? But you knew, you know, he would kind of let you kind of gauge what, or he would use you to gauge what the folks kind of might have thought of him. So
absolutely.
So he would bring music into the studio.
He would bring music into the studio, and he would play me some of the songs. And, you know, he knew if I stood kind of stoic and didn't move, he was like, "You ain't feeling that."
That.
I was like, "No." And so then he would play a certain song, and I'd be like, "Oh, okay, that's banging. Yeah, that's gonna be a banger right there." So I remember one night we were in the hair salon, and we were doing his hair, and he said, "Kim, I need your voice." And I said, "What you mean?" He was like, "I said I can't sing." He said, "Don't worry about it. I can make you sound any way I need you to sound." I was like, he said, "I just need your voice." And I was like, "Oh, my goodness." So we go into the studio, and he told me what to say. And people don't know that I'm on one of the tracks, "Get Freaky, Let Your Head Bob." And I was like, that song to this day is one of my favorite songs of Prince. "Get Freaky, Let Your Head Bob. Get Freaky, Get Funky." I was like, "That's," and I'm on that track, and people don't even know. And it is so amazing. Like, what,
I
like,
got it. We're going to play that. We got to get that song.
Absolutely. I love it. One of my other favorite songs of his is "Face Down." When he brought the beat in the studio, he was like, "Kim, what you think about this beat?" And I was like, "Oh, my God, just dope." And he came in there one night. He was like, "Kim, this is what we got to do. Go buy me some church hats. Go get me some boas. Go get this." So we got some of the wildest outfits. Me and his wardrobe person ran out to this costume store, brought back all this crazy stuff. So you'll see them in church hats. And so I wasn't just his hairstylist. I literally was his all-around go-to girl. So I worked doing whatever needed to be done in wardrobe. And if it was trash on the floor, he'd be like, "Kim, pick it up. You know, come on now. You my girl. Just, let's have my back." So there was no, I served as a bodyguard sometimes. I served as you know, his personal go-to girl. So it was just amazing. You know, like, people wound up after he passed, like, how did I wind up with so many of his things? Because I wasn't just his hairstylist. I literally was his all-around go-to girl. I held the makeup. I held the clothing. I had his shoes. I had his socks. I had his handkerchiefs. So I had to be prepared for whatever he needed. I was the all-around go-to girl. I wasn't just his hairstylist. We left hairstylist-client relationship long after, way before. Yeah, and it's like I said, most people aren't with their lawyers and the doctors for more than 20-plus years, and I outlived everything that went through Prince's life, his relationships, his lawyers, his doctors, his everything. I saw him grow into the man that he became, and it was just a beautiful journey, and that's what you'll see throughout the book, Diamonds and Curls. I tell people Prince was the diamond and I was the curls of the book. And so my book is based on the different facets of a diamond, the cut, color, clarity, and the, you know, the characteristics of a diamond. So all those different chapters, the book is broke down into those chapters, and my stories fall in between all of those, the cut of a man, the color of a man, the clarity, and what made him up to be that person. And so that's how my book is based on the diamond, and just showing how, you know, Farrakhan gave a quote just saying how beautiful the colors that he gave off throughout his lifestyle and of the diamond. And so that's why I brought that into my book. And so I'm just excited about, like I said, to share my story of who this man was and bring it to the nations of the humanity of
absolutely.
Who he was. Not the celebrity. I'm talking about the man, Prince.
The real Prince. Now,
right.
I love what you just said also, that there were items and things that you kind of have. Is there one piece that you have that you can just tell us about, you know, just one piece?
Well,
that
I
you have still
one
have
of the
meant some,
the gold iconic,
things.
Yes, the gold iconic outfit that he wore on stage. Whatever Prince had, he had many copies of, because we would leave stuff behind in arenas. We would leave, so we always had to have many of the different outfits. But I have one up right now to this day that I know that I'll probably wind up keeping, is one of the gold outfits that traveled all over the world with him. And so when I go on my book tour, you know, coming up, that will be displayed every time I show up. So when you see Kim Berry, you'll see the gold iconic outfit that Prince wore on stage night after night
Now, I wish I could fit into it, because I would certainly try.
If he was a tiny man.
But I'd pop it open all over the place,
Right. He was a tiny man, and people don't realize until they see his shoes or they see his clothes of how tiny he really was. He was a very small in stature man, but he was bigger than life, you know.
He towered in real life.
Yeah, I said the prince that sat in my hair salon chair was not the prince that you saw on stage. And the prince that you saw, he was humble, he was kind, he was quiet, but then he was loud and he was rambunctious, and you know, so he had so many different facets to him. That's why the diamond fits him perfectly, you know, when I characterize him, that he was, it was so much to him, but he was this beautiful star that God created. He used to tell me all the time that he was downloaded by God to bring music to the world, and that he knew that this gift was given to him, and I tell people that when he died, that when he got to the gates of heaven, that he'll be able to say, God, I left everything you gave me on the stage, you know, because he gave it to them night after night. And it was so beautiful to be able to see live music and see him perform. And like, he would go out for his encores. He would do 5 and 6 encores after a 2 and 3 hour show and give 10 people, whoever stayed behind, that them 10 people, he would give them a show like it was an arena filled with 70,000 people. Like, he was so dope like that. But it was the music, and whatever energy you gave him, he was going to give that energy back. And it was so amazing to be a part of that and see him rock so many. You know, I would stand on outside of the stage and just see him wave his hand and be like, put your hands up, you know. And one man could rock so many. It was just amazing night after night to be a part of that journey and meet so many different celebrities, Sheila E. and Patti LaBelle and Candy Dulfer and, you know, Chance Howard, and I mean, man, it was just so amazing. Mike Phillips, to see all these stars, he picked them out, handpicked each one of these celebrities, and they became Maceo Parker, Najee, just amazing. And I was able to hang around all these celebrities and be a part of their lives night after night, and it was just amazing. Like I said, that God chose me to be around all of these people, and it was just amazing that the family, you know, lifestyle that we built with these people year after year, different celebrities and different people that he built and created, and, you know, Carmen Electra, you know, that I was able to, you know, actually come in contact with and be a part of. All people like, did you do the women in his life's hair? Absolutely. Anybody that was hanging around Prince, Kim touched them. You know, Andy Allo, you know, that all these people are now celebrities in their own right.
That's right. Wow.
It was just amazing to be a part of their lives, and you know, now I can tell the stories. Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I was part of that, you know. And it was just amazing night after night, like I said, just to be a part of that.
Well, let me just say this, Kim. We are looking forward to all of the installments of this book, Diamonds and Curls, and that's Curls with a Z. Your story. It's by Kim Berry. So you definitely want to check it out. Now, what are some of the best ways they can find this book? And of course, we're gonna kind of get it right here through the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Absolutely.
But tell us some of the other ways they can get the book today.
Thank you. Yes, you can go to my website. It's www.diamonds, and the letter N, CURLZ. So Diamonds in Curls is the website. So you can go to my website. It'll take you straight to Amazon. You can get the book there. And if you hit me on there and send me an email, I can set it up where we can do a special signing. I can, you know, personally autograph the book for them. And then also, like I said, coming up, I'll be doing a book tour. So you can stay tuned on the sign up on the website. And I'll be coming to a city near you. So you guys look forward to that.
Well, we're
going
to bring you out to my expo. We have a huge expo in May. It's the world's first 8-day expo, period. And it's my very own, called HairNationExpo.biz. And we want you to come out here. So we're going to contact your folks and get you scheduled to come out here and do a huge, huge book signing and meet all the fans that you're making today right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Absolutely. I would love that. And then also...
Yeah. did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hinds is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
All right, it's Friday morning, September 23rd, 2022. We're back live, and this is mid-show, literally, almost the exact midpoint. I'm Keri Hinds, and we've got a lot to catch up on. I have so much to talk to you about. Took off for a day. We had the show on. We're going to talk about all of that. We have a special guest joining us at about 8 o'clock this morning, and we're going to talk all about that. And just what's coming up in the weeks to come, what we've been through this past week, and just kind of getting it back together. I want to bring to the line a gentleman from Spotsylvania, Virginia. We're talking about the one and only, the host of the Vet Talk Radio Show that airs right here Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. I'm talking about Michael Hopkins. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy mid-show.
Yes, happy Miss Show back at you, sir. Good to talk with you. I feel like it's been a long time since I've been able to kind of, you know, sound a little bit better. Some of you guys
better. Keri Hinds. You sound a lot better.
Yeah, it was a little tough going. It really was, I have to say. Ever since Tuesday was the first day I kind of, I don't know, caught a huge bug. And the bug had babies. And I was just sicker than a dog. We carried on with Wednesday's show. One of the days we carried on. And the next day we just couldn't take it. I think that was Tuesday we carried and pushed through. Wednesday, forget about it. So we ended up taking Wednesday off. Thursday we kind of came back. Ooh-wee. It was horrible. It was real hard. It was hard to carry on, to do a show when you don't feel great. And so it was really, I have to be honest with you, Michael Hopkins, it was tough to do live talk on radio when you just don't feel so hot. And I was just totally under the weather. Yeah. I totally can relate. And it's so rare. It's very rare. It really is. Most of the time I feel just awesome. Yeah, this week I don't know where I caught the bug from. I have some suspicions, but I don't know exactly. All I know is that you do everything you can, and I'm just grateful to feel like I'm getting a little better. I slept and rested. I just had no energy to push through before. So today was the first day we said we're going to try and, you know, and push on through, because there's an old saying, Michael, and I don't know if you've ever heard this. It says the show must
go on.
All right. So you have heard it. The show must go on. And that's what I'm living by today. And, you know, and we're pushing on through. So the good news is we have a gentleman coming up at about 8 or so. His name is Dr. Paul Dyer, and this man is just a holder of 4 PhDs and so much more, and also into martial arts and just so much more. He's accomplished so much. So I cannot wait to have him on the show, and I believe I read somewhere he was in the military. We're going to have to find out and get to the bottom of all that. So quite a bit to get on. He's going to be our special guest co-host in the next hour. So we got him for the hour. We're going to get into a whole lot of talk. I think you're going to have a great time being introduced to this gentleman. And I'm excited. I think we got some good stuff coming up. And then also I've got some amazing updates and so much more to get into this morning. So Hopkins, how about you? How are you coming along?
Oh, I'm feeling much better, too. Yeah, I had a few things going on myself down here in Spotsylvania, and I'm starting to feel much better. Yeah, but when it gets you, Gary Hines, it gets you.
It does. It's that time of the year. Speaking of which, on a good note, it is the first day of fall, the first day of autumn or fall. I say fall. Some folks say autumn. But anyway, it's the first day. And so I'm real happy to say, especially here in New York, it feels like it. I mean, I had on a big sweater and had to still go back and put on a jacket. It's freezing here.
Wow.
Compared to what the weather's been like. Yeah. So
that's
it's like in the 50s. Yeah. I mean, we went from the 80s or something, you know, so it's kind of cuckoo and crazy that it's back to being that cold up here. And so we're going to definitely. I'm grateful. I love the fall weather. I really do. I prefer fall. That's one of my favorite seasons, honestly. So I don't mind the cool weather. So listen, again, if you're just tuning in, it is Friday morning, September 23rd, 9:23 of 2022. And so I'm real happy to have you guys with us. It's our show number 761. Wow. 761 as we march towards 1,000. We'll probably do a celebration when we get to show number 800. I was thinking about it.
Looking forward to it, Carrie.
Yeah, I think we should celebrate. Show number 8, that's a lot of shows. That's a
yes,
freaking lot of shows. Yeah. So I'm real happy. Now, I've got a lot to talk to you about. Again, you know, I just fell so far behind. I've got new music to introduce you to. Statewide Chip has sent me so many great songs that we can actually play. You know, there's something called Radio Edit. You know, he's a wonderful rap artist out of the South Jersey area. Statewide Chip with Statewide Bosses. And so most, you know, his songs are a little, I don't know about early morning breakfast, but they're great. So we've got some radio edits that I think you guys are going to enjoy. So I cannot wait. That we'll have for you next week. So definitely stay tuned for that. And coming up in just a little bit, you know, we always check in on Friday, each weekday with Blue out of Jacksonville, Florida. Going to ask about the weather down there. See what's going on weather-wise. And also, just kind of get in shape. Going to find out a little bit more about Dr. Dyer. Michael, you and I, we've had a chance to chat with Dr. Dyer before. So this is going to be a great opportunity to catch up and introduce him to our fans of the show.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I think so, too. He's a welcome addition to the team, and we're real happy about that. And we're going to get him on to meet everybody and check in with us and see what he has to comment about and all of that wonderful good stuff. And we're going to keep it moving. So this morning, yeah, I still have a little hoarseness, but compared to the way I was, this is nothing.
Oh,
believe
yeah.
me.
Oh, yeah.
I can. Yes, I can go back and listen to one of those shows, and boy, oh, boy. So we're on the mend. Want to talk about my salon furniture. I got to talk a little bit about that. That folks are unaware. We've never talked about it. I shouldn't say never, but it has been years, years and years since I've talked about salon furniture auction. So I'll get into that a little bit. These are things that you guys are unaware of that we do here at Hair Radio. A lot of behind the scenes things that that we do, and entrepreneurial things to generate income and all kinds of things. So I think you're going to learn a lot in today's broadcast. So we're happy about that. Yeah. So I tell you what, let's kind of keep it moving a little bit this morning. I want to keep some energy, get some energy going, and freshen up the coffee, as they say. And when we come back, we're going to check in with Blue.
So we're going to have you guys to stay tuned. Keep it right here. Been feeling a little bit, you know, for some kind of something a little bit awakenish this morning. How about some Toni Braxton? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Great.
With you. All right. All right. It is Friday morning. Boy, you could tell when we have been away. I tell you, it's Friday morning, September 23rd of 2022. I'm Kerry Hines. It's about 7:34 in the morning. I want to bring back to the line Mr. Michael Hopkins, and also joining us out of Florida, Blue, with Candle Talk. Good morning, Blue. Good morning, Michael.
Morning.
Good morning.
Happy mid-show.
Yes,
you know
happy
when
Friday,
I'm really tired. Yeah, the song has just gone on, and I'm just here doing other. My mind just goes off into the distance. But you know what? Nothing can get me down today. I feel 10 times better than I have felt in days. So, and I'm happy to be spending that with all of you guys, really.
You sound good today, Karen.
Well, thank you. I definitely feel better. I'm not, I can't go super high, but, you know, so, but the energy's on its way back. And it's just, you know, you get one of those bugs and it kind of gets you. Yeah. I'll tell you, though, I was just saying before you came on, Blue, that I don't know how on earth, it was really tough to do the show. I have a whole new respect for what we do every day because I realized how pooped I was. I didn't even have energy to do the show. I couldn't hit buttons. I couldn't talk. It was just really, really, really challenging. So this is, you know, over this weekend, I plan to rest. Have you guys ever had something that knocks you on your butt, literally?
That,
just really,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, Michael, you've had a million things, as you said.
Oh,
but once
yeah.
in a while. Yeah. But I don't know, these little bugs. What was that, Blue?
I said, oh, God, yes, we all have.
Yeah, yeah. And they just, you know, and especially, I've had the flu before. I don't know if it was the flu or whatever. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, this was a toughie. But I'm so glad to be back with you guys. I really am. So let me just remind you, coming up at 8, Dr. Paul Dyer is joining us on the Hair Radio Morning Show for the first time. We're happy to have him join us. He's going to become part of our morning crew. So we're going to talk to him about all of that. I feel subdued. I feel like I can't talk like my normal self quite yet, but we're working on it. Blue, it's Friday, and you know what Friday means. First, we want the candle. Yes, and we want to catch up with you on the candles for the week. We've had a little bit of chaos trying to cope with the flu bug or who knows what and all that kind of crazy stuff, but we're back. So in Candle Talk, and I'm excited, we've missed Candle Talk, and we're talking about Divine Energy Candles. Blue is the CEO behind that company. What can you tell us today? Blue, you usually do a candle of the day. Michael and I are interested, right, Michael?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Yes.
All right.
Well, today what we're going to do, we're going to have a quick recap of our candles from the week, and then we'll get right into the candle of the day for this Friday, the 23rd of September.
Okay. We'll take it away.
Thank you. All right. We started off this week with banana nut bread. We're going to try to stick with autumn and fall scents this week, and I think I did a pretty good job doing that. So we started off with banana nut bread, and then we went right into caramelized pralines. And those are both, you know, the banana nut bread, everyone loves banana nut bread.
True.
We love some fresh baked breads and cookies and pies. And then I went we went to some fresh candy, you know, with your caramel and your pralines and vanilla. And that was a really, really delicious, that is a very delicious scent. And for Friday, we're just going to jump right into a little pumpkin chai. And pumpkin chai, that's a sophisticated fall fragrance. And it has a invigorating flourish of spices. This revitalized scent transports you to a crisp autumn day with a dusting of cardamom and apple swirls into a mid-notes of pumpkin and brown sugar. A heavy, a spice-heavy base with rich notes of vanilla rounds that scent out a little bit. And we have the top notes as cardamom and apple. The middle note is a pumpkin and brown sugar. And our base note surprisingly has a little black pepper, vanilla, clove, cinnamon, cream, and praline in it. So we got a nice little combination of spices in this pumpkin chai scent.
Wow, it sounds definitely like talking.
Yes. So this is the first day of fall. So you have, is this your favorite season too? Because it sounds like you have definitely ushered in fall, Blue.
I'm invested in the fall season, yes. I love it. Love it.
Okay, because usually as soon as the summer's over, then we start to look at the holidays. And you still got the holidays ahead, and you've been working on some things. What do you want to share today?
Oh, yes. I'm working on the next month we have October. You know, that's Halloween. And I have some skull candles that I'm preparing for some events that I have going on.
That's kind of scary.
Yes, I love it. Skulls. These candles are skulls, yes. And I'm thinking about doing the skulls in black and orange and a black and red. And, you know, I'm going to do a really nice but dark colors for Halloween, you know, with some beautiful scents in there, though. I'll get you the scents. Next week we'll talk about the scents for the skulls for October.
Awesome.
But,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
and don't forget our candy corn. We're still working on our candy corn as well for these markets. So I'm excited.
Well, the candy corn, that's my favorite. Now, and folks have for years thought that candy corn was like wax. That's a natural. Yeah, me too. I don't know what it is, but I love candy corn. I don't like all the fancy other things they've done with the candy corn. I don't like all those other different colors of it. But
you just want to go traditional candy corn.
Yeah, and I can just eat one after the next. And so I'm a fan of that as well, yeah. And so the smell of that, the scent, let's say the word scent, not smell, the scent of that is just going to blow your mind. So I'm very, I'm super excited. Divine energy candles, luxury candles, that's important. And so real good stuff. Okay. I'm excited. Yes. So
So am I. I definitely am going with that banana nut. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I've got some banana nut cake in my house right now as we speak. And you're making me hungry.
You know what? I'm telling you, now, Michael, you mentioned that, and we have none. I have nothing here. I wish I had the Divine Energy candle today for that one. Yeah, that would have been great. I'm super excited. Speaking of which, we want to make sure you guys, the holidays, we talked a little bit about it, but in the way of gifts, to me, this is the time to start getting your gift collection together. And so there is no better gift than these candles.
Absolutely.
And I want to say that first. So you can definitely.
I want to just remind my customers, not all, but if I have RTA candles, if you are on my website or anywhere you see RTA candles, those candles, RTA means they are ready to ship. RTA or RTS are ready to ship. That means those candles can go out between 5 to 7 business days. Now, custom candles, because all candles have curing times. My candles are basically have a 2-week curing time, and it's because of the wax that you use. When you let your candles sit and cure, it has a better scent throw. And you want the best scent. I want the best scent throw for my customers. That way, when they are making that candle, the whole house is going to feel. Whether it's a small room or a big room, I want to fill that room. So keep in mind.
Yeah, that is rocking some education here on candles for me.
I did not know that.
I'm just going to say it. Blue brings the candleology.
Well, it's good to educate because a lot of people don't know this stuff, you know. You can walk into a Walgreens or into a Walmart. And those, I don't know how long those were sitting, but the small business owners that make these candles, you know, each and every day, we all have inventory that are waiting for the customers that are the orders that are online. And then we have our custom candles that we are doing for people that request, you know, special stuff, custom things for weddings, baby showers, anniversaries, you know. We're going to make them especially for you, and we're going to make them right. At least I know I am. It's going to be right.
Absolutely.
That way when you receive that
love
candle, you're going to love it.
This is really cool. Okay, well, I'm excited. And so we've got the fall to look forward to. Now, is there something called a Christmas candle?
It is. The Christmas candle, we usually use peppermint. Sometimes for that Christmas candle, we may use mistletoe.
Okay.
Fire starters. They have pine and they have cinnamon and a lot of other things on those Christmas candles, and those are small and great for travel as well.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm just excited that we have everybody checking in on this great candle talk. Again, DivineEnergyCandles.com, DivineEnergyCandles.com. And Blue, these are great, great things that we need to keep sharing. And every day, mid-show, about 7:30 or so, Blue's on to share the candle of the day. We call it the scent of the day. We want to make sure, and you guys know how I am crazy about candles, and we've been able to share that. And you've surpassed anything we could have expected when it comes to candle talk. You are the candleologist, the candle queen, the candle talker of the year.
I'm getting my associate's degree in candleology, and then I'll just have to work on the bachelor's degree in it.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Who would have thought the candles? I mean, you really. I never thought candles had so many legs to them, but they do.
They
right.
Do.
And we just know we love them, but we don't know why. And you kind of fill in that gap as to why.
Yes.
So we love that. Okay. Well, listen, Ms. Blue, we're going to call Dr. Blue down there. In Jacksonville.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
I didn't ask you, Blue, how's the weather down in Jacksonville, Florida today? It's kind of cool up here in Brooklyn, New York. What about where in your neck of the woods down in Jacksonville, Florida?
Yes, same here. Same here, Carrie. It's cool in the morning. And between 10 and 11, it starts getting about 80. It gets hot pretty fast. So around between 5 and 7 a.m., you get out there, oh, you're in love because it feels so good out there. I love cool weather. I love it when it's cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that sweater weather.
Yeah.
I love sweater weather.
Well,
but then right away you're pulling that sweater off.
Up here. Wow. Well, I tell you, up here in Brooklyn, New York, I think the whole day I don't think it's going to be above 65 at that. So, this is going to be really, it's really kind of a, it's really cool today, so I'm kind of enjoying it too. So Michael, I forgot to ask you, down in Pennsylvania, isn't it the same? Is it a little cool?
Yeah, most definitely, it's a little cool. It's sunny, but it's just a little cool down here. And I can't wait to see how this is gonna work out for me because I must go out of my house today to take care of some business. So, I can't wait to see how this is.
Okay. Well, listen, hang in there, folks. We'll be right back. We'll be back. And don't forget, coming up between 8 and 9, you'll meet our newest cast member, Dr. Paul Dyer. So I tell you what, why don't we just take a little break and keep it right here. We've got a lot more to get into this morning. Again, it's the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll be back.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Hi. I'm Carrie Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Carrie Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner grows hair. Carrie Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Carapi, and we thank you. Please register at Carapi.com and join our Carapi community at hairradio.com. Again, I'm Carrie Hines. Thank you. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I am actually out and about in New York City on this very, very special occasion that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. Today, we are welcoming back to the show a gentleman who is friends with just about everybody in show business. He knows them all, and you guys know him. We're talking about Mr. Lon L. Williams. I know, first of all, welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Sorry, it's a pleasure to be back. I really shouldn't be eating this early in the morning,
No, that's right. It's 6 in the morning. Yeah, no, it's very early, but that's okay. Yeah, it's early, but that's okay. We're out and about.
Always a pleasure to be back, and when I'm in New York, I love getting the opportunity to catch up with you and hang out. It's always a blast. So,
listen, the last time you were on the show, okay, it was a while ago, but I remember this because you were actually talking about you had a special meeting, we're going to say, with some big stars. I remember you were out with Jay Leno. I remember you were out with John Travolta.
Correct.
Now, you had a very special talk with John. What do you think he would be saying in that we just recently lost Miss Olivia Newton-John?
He did a very beautiful post on social media. I don't know if you saw it or not. If you haven't, you really should. I mean, it was very heartfelt. He's just a great guy. And it's interesting because when I was with him, he and Jay Leno, we were filming a show on a private jet where we were flying from Burbank to his house in Florida.
Right.
So we got to land on this private runway and go to his house. It was absolutely amazing. And his wife was still alive at that time. And they were just so hospitable and so wonderful. And then shortly after that, he lost his wife.
Right.
Kelly Preston to cancer. And then now Olivia Newton-John. So, you know, it hits home for him, but he's always, I tell him when I'm around him, I say, you know, you're the coolest guy in the universe. And so, but because he's always just so warm and genuine and heartfelt, he is like, if you need somebody in your corner, you want John Travolta, because he's just by humanity at its highest.
Well, listen, thank you for sharing a moment. We know how much you enjoyed your experiences and your time with John. And just want to say thank you while we're out and about. It's always, what you're hearing is New York City, folks. And we are so appreciative for that. We're actually kind of enjoying ourselves out here. And this is Mr. Lonell's first trip back to New York in a while. And we've placed an order for quite a bit of comida. And we've got more to ask him about right here. So hold it, Lonell. Before we let you go this morning, we want to also just take a moment. You are always connected with everybody who's anybody. You were in New York City. You actually were at GMA. Talk to us about that, because why were you at GMA? We're going to just put it on out there.
I went there too because, Megan Thee Stallion was going to be there. So it's so funny because, you know, they do this summer concert series every Friday. And so at the beginning of the summer, or whenever, spring, whenever they release the list of the bookings, I go on and see if there's one that I want to attend, and then I immediately hit up my contact, right?
And now he's got friends at GMA.
So shout out to Daneska and Cameron. They always take great care of me, VIP hookup, everything, you know. There's no waiting in line, all that stuff. But that's what I came to New York for. And I ended up extending my trip and then seeing all of these fabulous shows. And then getting a chance to catch up with you. So it's been wonderful.
Thank you, LW. Now, everybody knows you're great friends with the one and only Miss Oprah Winfrey. So we've got to ask you, what is Oprah up to these days?
Oprah is still very busy. She works every day. But she's really doing a lot more on her own platforms through her magazine, a digital magazine, and some other, and she's producing also the Color Purple film, the musical.
Right.
They just finished rapping, and she was down in Atlanta for that. She's always got something up in the pipeline, and she's got a couple other movie projects that she's producing as well. She stays busy. She's booked and busy. Whether you see her, whether she's like on a mainstream platform or doing her own thing behind the scenes, just trust and believe she's still like a conduit to changing the world.
Well, listen, we just love catching up with you and the idea of living vicariously through you and all these folks. Lonel, thank you so much. And what's next for you?
I'm back to traveling, so that part is a wonderful thing. And really just trying to finalize my story. So, you know, people have been asking about that for so long, so... I'm getting closer.
And I hope I'm a part of that story.
Be careful what you wish for.
This is true.
We go back a long way, so you might want to rephrase that.
We'll be editing this part out. Well, now, I just have to say thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure. Thank you.
Right. What's that from 3LWTV? Stand in
your light.
On that note, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Kerry Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Kerapi Shampoo and Kerapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Kerry Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Kerapi Shampoo and Kerapi Conditioner grows hair. Kerry Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Kerapi, and we thank you. Please register at Kerapi.com and join our Kerapi community at HairRadio.com. Again, I'm Kerry Hines. Thank you.
Okay, I'm actually out and about, you know, and courtesy and shout out to Mr. Lonel Williams for making all of this happen right here for me in New York City for my big celebration, I should say. Now, we came out to see this wonderful new play called Patience, which was at the Second Stage Theater in Manhattan, so in New York City. Very, very impressive play. And while I'm there, I should say I met an incredible theatergoer. I'm going to have her to introduce herself. Tell everybody who you are. This is your first time on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Yes, this is my first time, but I have to say shout out to all my fellow teachers out there who are getting ready or already started this new school year. And
well, first of all, what's your name and where are you from?
I'm Taisha, Miss T, and I'm originally from Massachusetts, but I've been living in Brooklyn for just almost 8 years now.
My fellow Brooklynite. Okay, that sounds just awesome. So listen, I've got to ask you, what did you think of the play, Patience?
I thought it was incredible. I read up a little bit about it, saw that it was at second stage, saw a tremendous play by Youngjin Lee right before the pandemic. We're going to die, and so I really wanted to get back to second stage now. And I think it was just, as I said, I'm a teacher, and I've been trying to find ways to promote excellence regardless of color.
Right.
And understand how different people, again, regardless of color, regardless of gender, regardless of presentation,
right,
deal with being excellent at something and then realizing it's not what we love. It's not actually what's fulfilling. It's what we really need are people. What we really need is to figure ourselves out and time for self-reflection and time for growth. And, like, what to do when you've been told being great at something is what you're supposed to be. Like, what do you do when you were great at something and then you were like, oh, wait.
All right.
How come I ain't happy still? What up?
I'm
what up with
it.
That?
So. Aisha, wow. I love this. You must do radio on the side.
It's on the list. It's on
okay,
the list. So you're really making my night in so many ways.
Likewise. Likewise. Thank you so much. Okay. Well,
two
thumbs up for patience. Okay. Is it the McGinn Gazelle Theater?
Yeah. Second Stage Uptown.
Second Stage Uptown. Okay. 20th anniversary Uptown season. We love it. Awesome. Please Google it. Go to myhairradio.com page, our online community, everything. We will put you in touch with these folks. You've got to see patients. And thank you so much. Okay, Taisha, thank you. Nice to talk with you. Enjoy your time in New York.
Thank you.
Well, you live here now, so
yes,
you're in Brooklyn.
Try to.
Okay.
I will keep enjoying myself.
Okay, good. All right, we'll be right back, everybody. Thank you.
Taisha, you want, like, answer?
All right, folks, it is Friday again, September 23rd. I've just been so busy today. I tell you, I'm getting to that, I'll say about 75% back to normal. It's going to take a little time. You get out this weekend, I will use that to rest. Believe you me, it's Friday morning. Let me just bring everybody up to speed. It's Friday, September 23rd, 2022. It's our show number 761. It's about 8:03 in the morning, New York time. And first, let me bring to the airwaves Michael Hopkins. You guys know him. He helps us to hold it down out of beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia. Michael Hopkins, good morning again, and welcome to our Spotlight Hour now. Our Spotlight Hour, the third hour of the show.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, good morning again. Yeah, I have to tell, let me apologize to everybody. Normally, we're right on top of the buttons and hitting things right and left, but it's just been a crazy day, just trying to get back up to speed from feeling I have new respect for folks who are battling illnesses and all that kind of stuff. I can't equate my little bug to that, but boy, I can tell you, it's not easy sometimes, and I just thank you guys for bearing with us during these things, during these times. So, real good stuff. Michael, you and I had an opportunity to meet this gentleman through the wonders of radio and it was really video at that time, I think. We did a wonderful special on education of guns and gun control. Not gun control, but guns and stuff. That was non-political. It was just fantastic with my brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, amongst others. And I want to say starting with this gentleman as well, Dr. Paul Dyer, who I believe is in the Maryland area, is going to fill us in on all of that, who does so much and is just a part of so many amazing things and so many talents and gifts and education, just very erudite. Gentlemen, let me just bring to the line. We're going to get to know him. Let me bring to the line Dr. Paul Dyer. Good morning and welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show. You're on live.
Good morning, family. How you guys doing?
Great.
Doing okay.
Yes,
great.
Yes, it's good to talk with you again, Dr. Dyer. So I want to just
I'm just super excited, Carrie. Most people don't know that I am super excited about being part of the Hair Radio Network. and the family that I know you have just circled for the many years you've been doing the show. You've been holding it down, and your crew's been holding it down for a long time, and I feel so honored, so thank you.
Well, listen, you're going to fit right on in. And I want to talk a little bit about, you know, how all this came to be. First, now you are out of where, Dr. Dyer? You are based where?
I'm living in Maryland now. I am in Maryland now. But I say I'm human-based. That's what I say. You know, most people say where you hail from. I'm originally a New Yorker. I'm always going to be a Bronx kid. That's where my heart
really?
Is. That's where my
wow.
Yeah, that's where my Yankees play. That's what I do. I hold it down. I'm boogie down all the way.
Wow, well, I love that. Yeah, I used to go up there by the Yankee Stadium, 161st and all up in there. I think that's amazing. First of all, welcome, welcome, welcome. I didn't even realize that little wonderful little tidbit there. So good stuff. Okay. Now, you are deep in education and so many other things. But I know this isn't bragging, but you're a holder of like 4 PhDs. Can you talk to us a little
Correct.
Bit about that?
Well, to talk to you about it, it's easy to talk about. It's hard to explain. Most people don't really see too many black men with 4 PhDs, or most people don't see too many men with 4 PhDs. But then I have, it's in health sciences, it's in cellular biology, physics, and metaphysics and naturopathic health. So then I have my master's in neuroscience, neuropsychology, neuroanatomy, and neurolinguistics. So along with that, with kinesiology and nutrition, I apply all that to, I call it the living science.
Mm. Well, it sounds incredibly interesting. And neuro, didn't I learn that early on that it had something to do with, like, nerves and things like that?
Correct, correct. It's really about the firing of the pathways. But ultimately, you know, I do have to say this. I am a proud father of 9 children. I'm a proud grandfather of 9 grandchildren so far. And also I'm a military veteran. So, I'm a combat vet. So there's a lot to do with unpacking and we say the tentacles of why I do what I do is the passion of I've seen death. I've been a part of death. I've been close to death. And now I want to teach life and how people live. And the only way to teach people life, how to live is if they understand how they're living. You know, most people just kind of like go through the motions and don't understand how they live it. And so we keep procreating, we keep regenerating the same old, and we have not moved forward. And I think that's where our system is now.
Exactly. Well, I think I have this read somewhere where someone once said, through life, there is living. And don't know quite where I read that. No, I'm just kidding. I read that reinformation, Dr. Dyer, and I love that. And there you go. So now, did you say 9 children?
9 children, 7 girls, 2 boys.
Wow. I have to honestly, and you said 7 girls? Okay,
7
wow.
girls. So I may not know hair, but I've been around here.
You said you definitely been around here with 7 girls. My goodness.
I have to say one more thing. Well, I am highly upset with men who don't know how to do their daughter's hair. I've always knew how to braid and do my daughter's hair.
Well, how did you learn that, though?
It's about love.
Mm.
That's all it
wow.
is. How do you do anything? It's about love. You either love or you don't. And if you love, you do. And if you don't know how to do, you learn to do.
Wow. Well, we're going to enjoy you on this show. I can tell you that, Dr. Dyer. Now, as I was going to say, 9 children, and my mom, she had 9 children. So that's, you know, I had 8 brothers and sisters.
So that is I haven't even heard anybody say anything like that these days. But that's incredible. So what is the reaction you normally get? Do you get a reaction these days when you say you have 9 children?
Absolutely. I get the, there he is, black man having children with a whole bunch of women books.
Oh wow. Oh man.
Yeah, that's the look I get. And without knowing my story, that was never the case. You know, I was always married to my mothers, my women of who bear my children, and being a widow early
well,
on in my life.
People don't care about the truth and what's actually the situation. We're just gonna go half cocked and just lump you into some story, some narrative that has been out there, but. So you've dealt with a lot of different family type things along the way, apparently.
Yes, sir.
Well, you're going to be able to just bring all that, and I'm sure you do already. I just caught a tail piece of one of your podcasts and all of this, and I'm so excited to have you here. We need you. We appreciate you. You're joining an amazing lineup, and like I said, just having you to join us here is a big deal. Now, Michael, I know you had a question as well. Now, but I do have to ask you on the military part, because I know that Michael's chomping at the bit to talk to you about that a little bit. But tell us a little bit about, Dr. Dyer, about your military career.
Well, it starts out real simple, you know. Once you get in, it depends on how your mindset was when you get in. But getting in, moving through, curse that my mother had on me was, if you're going to do something, do it well. That was always been the drumbeat and the mantra in my house growing up with my mom. It really comes a lot to do with my mother and father and the historical backgrounds my family has always been entrenched in, and that is to make a difference. And it didn't matter what it was to make a difference. My father was a Black Panther. My mother was a civil rights person. I mean, she was just a brilliant woman, but it was always about make a difference and what's next. So those two phrases really moved me through all the things I've ever done, because if I'm going to step into it, I'm going to get into it. And so going from that, going into special operations, going into tons of deployment, many countries, that's who I was. So unlike many things people see in TV, us operators who go in and jump in and move through places and spaces that you can only read about, we don't come out all whole. So that's part of that military career. So rebuilding myself after I got out, and I've always been transparent about my trauma, and that's why I got into the neuroscience, because I too almost committed suicide. So from the trauma of the military, and in also understanding that when I was a young boy, I got molested myself. So there's all these traumas, triggers that I wanted to learn how to live. And that's why I do what I do about the living.
Well, listen, I have to tell you, and folks, so if you got the little ones in the room, this is at the breakfast table. We're going to get into some real discussion topics today. So this is one that, use your judgment. But I've got to say, it's good to have you with us, Dr. Dyer, and I want to dig into some of this. I really do. Michael, what do you have to say to Dr. Dyer? Because he talks of this trauma and having to overcome all of this as a youngster. Can you relate to that, Hopkins?
Oh, most definitely, Carrie. Dr. Dryer, as one military person to another, welcome home. Welcome home,
thank you,
sir. Welcome home. They never say that to us, do they?
They don't. You know, and
they
don't.
They never tell
us how.
Yeah,
I don't know if people know how to be honorable to the women and people who serve our country and to do the things they've done. I think it's media driven, but I don't think it's heartfelt for the collective. And here's how I know this. When you can defame someone because of what they look like, feel like, pray like, then you're not really honoring our country.
Amen, my brother. Amen, my brother. Understood. We go in one way into the United States military, and we come out a different way. And people don't understand it. They think you can assimilate back into the general population. And as you know, Dr. Dwight, we can't, because we have that switch. And I know you understand this. I call it a switch. Some of us know how to turn the switch on and off. Some of us, it flickers, and it's hard. And it's really hard. You know, a lot of the veterans groups I'm in, and you've seen this too. There are a lot of guys, Vietnam era type soldiers, and they're still in Vietnam. Part of them is still back 50, 60 years ago. They're still back there.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Well, I'll tell you something. It's we're going to delve into this. And Michael, we're going to be, of course, Michael is on with us every Tuesday from 8:30 to 9 New York time for the Vet Talk radio show. So we're going to be getting into a whole lot of these discussions. Dr. Paul Dyer, it is always it's going to get quite interesting here, I can tell you. But I'll tell you, it's good to have you with us. I've never even heard the words you uttered today, uttered on this show. So just to say these things can help us all to heal and, you know, and begin the process of getting these conversations going. Also, and I want to talk about that. It was big on my little, I don't do a vision board, but we do like a production wall here. And I wanted to talk about mental health in our community. I wanted to talk about all the things that looks like you've been dealing with on so many different levels. What can you tell us in terms of mental health in our community? Is there anything you can share on that?
Yeah, and I do a show called Mental Health Mondays, and here's the simple thing about mental health. I want people to hear this slowly, and then you understand what I mean. Hear it slowly. Don't just hear it, but hear it slowly and feel it largely. You have to get the work. You have to get to work. And everyone has a mental block. If you don't know what it is, it's causing a disturbance. That's what I want to say about mental health across the board. Everyone has a mental block. And if you don't know the block, it will cause a disturbance. And speaking of hair, and in the hair radio show and the beauty industry, it does not matter how beautiful you are and what you want to do, but there are reasons why you are doing, wearing, and saying the words. And if you don't understand your personal reason, then it will create a disturbance.
Wow. That is, And so this is something that everybody should kind of face when we look in the mirror, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So mental health is often viewed as something unspoken, has been talked about this in nauseam since the pandemic, and I have really jumped into it because so many of the African-American communities, the Black communities, the melanin communities don't ever face the fact that they have been traumatized and sick. And if you listen to the words they speak, it speaks in sickness. And I can detect certain words of how things are used. I'm not going to. That's a sick related phrase. Whether you want to or not, I'm not going to is a sick phrase. And the reason why I can break it down to a sick phrase, someone says, well, what if I don't want to jump off a bridge? I'm not going to isn't the relation to what you're is not intention to do. You could, how about saying, oh, I don't feel comfortable jumping off the bridge. So now you insert yourself into the understanding of how you feel. I'm not going to is a directive of the external self. And the external self is not really relaying what the internal process of the body is going through. Express yourself internally fully, and then this has nothing to do with, like I said, this has less to do with the action of to do or not to do, but it's the words you use that triggers and understands the trauma. It's very specific.
I see. Well, there was also something along the idea of this trauma type things and dealing with, as you said, the melanin community, which was, there's something that we don't really talk about. And I was trying to think about the physiological effects of coping with a racist society, if you will. In my opinion, and I think that, I don't see a lot of talk about it. And then I noticed in terms of being a man, I don't see a whole heap of it on, and I'm talking about broadcast TV and stuff, and just this whole thing out there. So does it have an effect, do you think, on us as people that you're dealing and coping with so much every day? I would imagine everybody, and I think that's why you said when it, since the pandemic. I do think a lot with mental illness and mental health. But what about, doesn't it have a bigger effect? And how does all this play, and what can we do about it? What can we do about it, Dr. Paul Bunyan?
Do you remember the question you asked? You said the physiological, right? The physiological.
What was that
right?
again?
You asked the question was, what is the physiological effect, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But here, and I understood the question. I wanted people to understand the answer. When you talk about the physiological, you're talking about living organisms, the living substance that's within your body. And all the things that happens to us is constantly being held as a memory or as a vibration level. So we talk about vibrations and frequencies. And if you haven't talked about vibrations and frequency, all sound, the first sound that, if you're religious, the first word of God, all those are sounds and waves that builds and destroys life. So if you're not understanding how it's affecting your body on a physiological level, then you're not understanding how it's affecting your brain on a neural level, because it's synonymous. It works hand in hand. If it affects your cells and it affects your oxygen, it's going to affect your brain and thinking.
Oh, that makes sense, especially, yeah. It makes a lot of, wow. Okay. Well, listen, I better kind of bring everybody up to speed because we haven't really done it in a while today. But I've got to say, but if you are just joining us, you're listening to a very special Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. It's Friday, September 23rd of 2022. Just kind of getting back in there. Today, we took a day or so off and put on some things just to try to muddle and get my energy back. We're working on it. We're getting there, Dr. Dyer. My very, very special guest contributor today, but I'm going to just take the word guest on out. We've got him. He'll be with us, Dr. Paul Dyer. And that, let me just make it clear to everybody. Dr. Dyer, does everybody just automatically put a W in your name?
Well, I mean, my middle name is William, so you can put W.
Oh, well, yes, but the Dyer, because to me, I never heard of the Dyer. I think I always want to say Dwyer. Oh, why?
Right.
But
that's because the Dwayne.
Oh, that could be it. But what a great name, though. What a great name. So, Dr. Dyer, I want to kind of, we're going to take a little bit. There are two things I want to kind of cover with you in this next half hour today. And the things I want to talk a little bit, first, I did a brief interview with a gentleman. Well, first of all, I interviewed Reverend Jesse Jackson. I don't have that. But I did. I interviewed him years ago. And right after I interviewed him, I remember about 7 years ago, he brought his best friend came to the show. They were both here in New York and did a whole thing on the Silicon Valley and people of color. And I really wanted to get your opinion on whether things have changed. So I want to take a listen to this interview with Butch Wing. Again, a very dear friend of Jesse Jackson. He worked on Reverend Jesse Jackson's 1984 presidential campaign, in addition to other things and all of that. And so we have him here on the Hair Radio Show way back when he was on. And we're going to get that on. And then I'm going to jump on in. And we're going to get your opinion, Dr. Paul Dyer, on how or whether anything has changed. And I really wanted to take a look at that. It's been 7 years. So to get your opinion, I think, would be great. And where to go from there. And then the second thing, we'll talk a little bit about the special that we did with Brother Lee, with my dear brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, and so many others. So we've got a lot to talk about in this next half hour. I'll get on the piece with Butch Wing. Grab your coffee during this time. It's about 7 or 8 minutes. And after that, we'll be back to talk with Dr. Paul Dyer on all that we've heard and what we just mentioned. So we're going to keep everybody here. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Stay with us.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very special guest from the business sector today. His name is Butch Wing. Now, he's a part of a very, very big upcoming event. So we're going to, number one, I just welcome you to the Hair Radio Show, Butch.
Glad to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, and I'm quite excited. I want you to tell everybody, first of all, this is Reverend Jackson's 18th annual Rainbow Push Wall Street Project Economic Summit. So it's coming up, from like between January 13th and the 15th of 2015. But we want you to tell us about this upcoming project and how you are associated.
Well, the Wall Street Economic Summit really addresses the issues of economic empowerment, business development, and civil rights. This year, there's a big focus on technology, which Reverend Jackson has identified as this era's civil rights imperative. Blacks and Latinos, for the most part, have been locked out of the technology revolution. And if this is allowed to persist, many will be left behind in this next era. The income inequality gap, as we know, is growing. Wealth in our communities is declining. So participation, full participation in the technology industry is an imperative so that we can advance and take advantage of the tremendous opportunities that exist in the technology industry going forward.
Okay, now, and thank you for that. So just introducing us to the Silicon Valley, because a lot of our listeners out there, this is the first that they're really probably kind of making a connection of all the dots, you know, in terms of economic empowerment.
Well, Silicon Valley is the home of Facebook. It's the home of Google. Mm-hmm. It's the home of Yahoo. It's the home of all of the household names that we are becoming so familiar with. But technology is also merging with the telecommunications industry and the entertainment industry. So you're going to see names like Disney and Verizon, Google and Facebook pop up in the same conversation. These industries are merging. There's so much part of our daily lives. Everyone has a smartphone. Everyone's on Twitter. Everybody's using Facebook. But we're over-indexing as users and consumers. We're under-indexing in the boardrooms and the C-suites and in the workforce. We're under-indexing in access to capital. You don't see too many black and Latino tech entrepreneurs getting startup funding from the big venture capital firms. You very rarely see African-Americans or Latinos in the boardrooms. We did a study that showed just 0 to 3% of the tech workforce in companies that we surveyed, about 25 of them, are black and Latino. So as the technology revolution advances going forward, there's a tremendous danger that black and Latino communities and people will be left behind. We really can't let that happen.
And that's what this will be addressing. Now, let's talk about this upcoming event, if you will. It's a wonderful economic summit. And just tell us a little bit more about it, and what are you hoping the folks gain from it?
Well, we're going to bring some of the major corporate leaders to Wall Street in New York to address partnerships with communities. So, for example, Steve Ballmer, former CEO of Microsoft, will be speaking. Brian Krzanich, the CEO of Intel, will be speaking. Black Enterprise is doing a major luncheon in which they'll be speaking about the top 50 diverse companies in America. We're having workshops on access to capital. We're honoring Van Jones from Yes We Code and doing a big reception with New York Tech Meetup and Silicon Harlem. So there's a variety of workshops, plenary sessions, and networking that will be going on January 13 through 15 here in New York.
Is there a place where the fans of our show can find out more about this online?
Yes, go to www.rainbowpush.org. Again, that's www.rainbowpush.org, and click the button that'll take you to the Rainbow Push Wall Street Summit. And if you want to go to that site directly, you can go to Rainbow Push Wall Street Project. That's all one word, Rainbow Push Wall Street Project, all one word, .org. And it's a can't-miss economic summit. Everything that you'll need to know about participating in business, the civil rights imperatives of this era, engaging with technology, all that will be in one place at the 18th Annual Wall Street Project Economic Summit, taking place at the Sheraton, New York Times Square, January 13 through
15. 2015. Well, listen, 2015, okay. Now, folks, if you've just joined us, you are listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and today we're talking about economic development. We're talking about the Silicon Valley. We're talking about the wonderful upcoming economic summit that Reverend Jesse Jackson is kind of spearheading. And he's working along with folks like our guest today, side by side with the Silicon Valley, Mr. Butch Wing, who is with us today. Butch, again, thank you and welcome to the Hair Radio Show.
Thank you, Carrie.
Now, I would love for you to tell our listeners out there, how did this connection with the great Reverend Jesse Jackson come about? We were all on the same wonderful call and heard a lot of the great information in your part as well. How did this come about, you know, the wonderful connection, and why is it so important to you?
For me personally, Carrie?
Yes, for you.
Well, I worked in Reverend Jackson's first campaign in 1984. I was doing work in the Asian American community, and as you know, the 84 campaign was built around the idea of a rainbow coalition. So mm-hmm. Asian Americans and Latinos and African Americans, peace activists, labor, gays and lesbians, all of us came together in that 1984 campaign 30 years ago. So I was part of that initial cadre of people that came forth in the 1984 presidential campaign and worked in the 88 campaign and have been with Reverend Jackson and the Rainbow Coalition ever since.
Wow. All right. So we're back live. That was Butch Wing from 2015. I believe our show, this morning version of the Hair Radio Morning Show, had just hit the airwaves. Again, that was back in 2015. So, wow. So, to listen to him 7 years later. And my whole reason was to kind of talk a little bit about where we are technology-wise in the community and all of that. Have we really moved, has the needle moved any on that? And so let me just bring Michael Hopkins back in. Hopkins, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. And our very special guest, Dr. Paul Dyer. Again, it's Friday, September 23rd. Now, we're in the year 2022. Let me just be clear. That's it's our show number 761. So, Dr. Dyer, you listened to what we just heard from Butch Wing, great friend to Reverend Jesse Jackson. Guests on our show. Both men have been on the broadcast, of course. But what can you say? What do you say? Do you see any kind of, you know, is there some kind of disconnect when it comes to technology and the African-American community? Anything that you want to add to that?
Absolutely. So the quick answer is yes. So let me give you I do wear a lot of hats. I put on a lot of hats, but I'm still the same person underneath. And so I'm on different education boards here in Maryland, on the equity board here in Arundel County, and on racial justice for now, and different parts of the state of education. So I'm also part of a leadership team that's starting a charter school here in Maryland and also in other states, writing the curriculum for charter schools and to educate our melanin or just children who are economically segregated, right? So
Correct.
With that
right.
being said, I am deep into education because here's what I've known about education, and we can get into the science of why this is later, brain science. But in the United States, all of the United States, we're not even talking about the graduation class that happened last year, which roughly about 4 million black and brown boys who can't read above ninth grade level. We're not going to talk about that. What we are going to talk about is the new study that recently came out is that 1 in 3 black boys cannot enter kindergarten in the United States. They are not physically, mentally prepared. What does that mean when you can't enter kindergarten? That means you don't even know your ABCs, and you cannot subtract 1 to 10. This is what I'm saying. If you're not prepared to enter kindergarten, that means you don't know your ABCs, and you're unable to subtract 1 to 10. Now, some of you may have some amazing grandkids and children out there saying, my son can count, and my kid knows ABCs. We're talking about 1 in 3 today. 24% in Maryland are only ready for kindergarten of African descent, melanin descent, to enter kindergarten.
That's right.
24%. That is the most disgusting number that we as a community of humans are okay with. You know how we know we're okay with it? Because we have not done anything to change it. We don't put access to early childhood education in the neighborhoods where people have hard time with transportation. Okay, so is that done purposely? Maybe. So when you talk about technology, and I just had, I was on a board meeting just recently, and a CEO of a tech company says, hey, Dr. Paul, I would like to get more black people into my company. How do you see that happening? I said, well, first of all, you're circling the same 6% of black people who can actually apply. If you're trying to get new black people into tech companies, well, how are they going to know about it? How are they going to even apply about it? Because if they do any of these Indeed, I'm not going to mention any of these job search companies, if they put their name in there, tech companies don't come up for them according to their name and zip code. So that's an algorithm issue. The only way they can get into a tech company that's maybe good hiring them is if someone says, go see, you know, the boogeyman and tell him, and I'll walk you through so you can see him. Because if they get to that front desk, they're going to say, you need to fill out this application online. That application online doesn't get sifted through the algorithm, so they never even get an opportunity to get their resume looked at for a chance, to be involved in a tech company. So how are we supposed to be into tech companies when we are not even having the opportunity to get through the algorithms to get looked at as a tech company? So that's that. So the next thing is, how come black tech companies, small tech companies, have not hired their own people? I know a person who trains in STEM with young black boys. He finds them jobs. He starts them out at ninth grade in STEM classes, computer classes. He does this all by himself. Mission 2020 of black boys. There's a guy, there are people out there who are doing this, pockets across the United States that I know of, and it could be more, but there's not enough of us.
No, not at all. And I'm listening to you. There, clearly, it's not enough. And that's really why I wanted to talk about this. And you mentioned just 24% can't enter kindergarten in Maryland. That's unheard of. And that's probably just representative of different pockets all over America. And so my thing is, so what can we do about it, Dr. Dyer? Surely you must have some ideas. What can we do about it?
So I'm talking to the single parents, the parents who are working two jobs, the parents who are paycheck to paycheck, who are trying to get it through. And I'm not talking about services like with state services and public services. And I'm not going to get into because they're all doing the best they can. But there are people out here that we know that you can reach out to. If you can check a YouTube and scroll through all these stupid TikToks, you can reach out to somebody like me and say, I live here. Who do I call? And I will find you someone. That's what they need to do. That's what they need to do because we don't know your plight until you say something. And then the other thing, these churches, you have people sitting in your churches who can't eat, who cannot have developed education, but you're praying for them. How come they don't feel comfortable to say, where do I get help to do X, Y, and Z? Shouldn't that be part of your congregation? Right? And I'm not going to beat up on any of these prayer centers, but because we need to know where these people are at. So because once I find a person, I will make sure they get to where they need to get better at where they need to be. So there's a partnership in there.
Well, I have to tell you, Dr. Dyer, you're going to definitely light a match our little team here. Well, we love the conversation. This is really quite impressive. So our guest, in case you're just joining us, you missed quite a bit. We've been off since 6 o'clock this morning, as we are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday live from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 5 to 8 Central Time Zone. And, you know, just Dr. Paul Dyer, if I can talk today, has been our special guest on. Michael Hopkins is still there out of Spotsylvania, Virginia. I'm just grateful that you are shedding some light on some of these topics. And Dr. Dyer, I have to say, some of the things you mentioned, these are taboo topics. These are things that we just don't, they are. These are like, wow. You brought it this morning. And
yes,
that's what we're looking
is.
For. Yeah. Am I right, Michael Hopkins?
Oh,
Michael,
yes. Yes,
sure
he
was putting down that cereal spoon this morning. What?
Oh, I was taking notes. I'm just so, Dr. Dyer, you know, you just hitting it because it's for real. We have all these organizations. We have all these brilliant minds. We have all these people. But we keep having the same issue, same problem, same drama. And it shouldn't be that way. Like you said, we have churches. We have this thing. We have that. And collectively, we should be able to either solve the problem, work on the problem, do something about the problem. Because it's so sad. And I know you're a military man like me. We used to see this in the military. The technology and the gap in the technology between, as you say, the melanin people and the non-melanin people, if there's any other way to say it. And it's just, you know, you have inspired me. I don't know any other way to say it. You have inspired me to do something about it.
Guys, you have inspired us already. Can you imagine where we're going? So this is just the beginning, Dr. Dyer. We are just so grateful to have you here.
So Carrie, this is what I would like all the listeners to do as they hear it live, as they download it, as they listen to it. I want your phone number to blow up. And I want everyone who hears this voice and hears me and say, I heard you guys this morning. And I want to know more. We will take down your name. You'll give your name and email, and I will personally contact you and say, where do you live? What's your zip code? And I got you. That's it. I got you.
Well, I'm loving this. And I'll tell you how we can facilitate that, Dr. Dyer. We have several different ways. We have our own Hair Radio online community. And Dr. Dyer is so incredibly equipped with so much of this that we're going to set you up with your own group page here in our online community where it's free to sign up. It doesn't cost a dime. And folks can follow you. You can friend and like and read and post articles until the cows come home. And that's the easiest way to do so. They can connect with you through our Hair Radio online community. And it's very simple and easy. And we encourage everybody to do so. If you have not done so already, write this down. Go to www.hairradio.com. Again, it's hair radio. It's pronounced. But there's just one R. So that's www.hairradio.com. There's a big old members tab. Simply click on that and sign up. It's free. It takes only about an email. It takes about 5 seconds. And there are tons of articles and things and postings from other members, and they can follow and like and share and all that wonderful social media type stuff. And it's our own private community, and that's one way to do it, Dr. Dyer. So we're real happy about that. Plus, we'll put you in touch with Dr. Dyer. We've got a lot of stuff we'll be rolling out in the days to come. And next week, we're getting into a whole bunch of the entrepreneurial talk. We've got the Carapy. We've got a bunch of hair folks will be joining us. I'm super excited. Just real grateful to have you guys with us. I really am. This is really just the beginning. So some interesting talk today. Dr. Dyer, I have to say, this was just a very unique Friday.
It really has been. Yeah, real interesting stuff today, and this is just the beginning of a lot more to get into as we kind of move along. So I'm real pleased. Now, before we go, and also folks can, they can simply follow us. We're all over everywhere. You can Google the show in 2 seconds. We're across on social media ridiculously. In fact, one of my favorite things on YouTube, on my Carrie Hines page, by the way, on YouTube, we did this wonderful thing that that my brother was part of, which, and I love this, it was trying to educate the public on guns, yes, firearms. But it was a new kind of conversation to me, because I've never had a conversation about firearms that wasn't political, at least in the last several years. So this was the first thing for me to do so. So, Dr. Dyer, what do you want to say? Do you remember that? And what have you had any feedback on that wonderful video? It's on YouTube, by the way. You can catch it. But on that Zoom thing, I think we did. So any thoughts since then?
Yes, there's a lot of thoughts, you know. So let's back up a little bit. So one, I do a lot of handgun knife stuff around the country. I'm a grandmaster of martial arts. I'm the Supreme Council of the United States and several different Hall of Fames in the martial arts community. Been just doing this for 40-plus years. So along with that, we had this conversation about guns and the violence of, right? And because there's a lot of shootings, and there's always been shootings, but it's more publicized now, and the stress about guns in our society. And us gun people will say one thing. The gun doesn't kill, a person kills. So the one thing I've always said about gun violence, it's we have community disengagement, which creates the violence. All these people, and if you go back and look at whoever's done any shooting, they have, when they interview people that was around them, they say certain things. He was so quiet. This, I never thought it would do this. You know why? It's because we have a disconnect with our people that are even close to us. We don't know who they are. We don't know what their situation is emotionally. We may see them physically, but we don't know what they're thinking emotionally because we have not taken the time to say, how are you? Not what's up. Not, hey, bro. How are you? Three simple words that it is intentional for them to respond with, I'm not doing okay. Or I'm going through some things. And it's just okay, I'll talk to you. So if we can connect with people, because you think about the young person in school, teacher says, I know teachers got a lot of things, and I'm not blaming teachers, I'm not blaming anything, and I'm not blaming parents, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm blaming the community, because they always say, if you see something, say something. Well, how come we've never said anything to these people? Because I know if I ask a person, how are you, and I don't feel they're in the right space, I don't need to know if they're going to shoot a place. I'm going to make sure I hold their hand and say, let's talk. I know I'm busy, but I got you. What's up?
God, Dr. Dyer, we really, I don't know how we I just can't wait. I'm looking forward to continuing this conversation with you next week.
So am I, Carrie Hines.
Yeah.
So am I.
We're boiled over here. We really are. I'm just sitting, sipping and listening. I don't even want to talk because we just want to hear what you got to say. Now, next week, and let me just let everybody know, Dr. Paul Dyer will be joining us on the Hair Radio Morning Show Live. We're going to do this Thursdays and Fridays. And the Spotlight Hour. So we're going to have a lot to talk about, a lot to say. We have some great topics and things that are on the way. Today we just kind of threw a few things at you. And you managed pretty well, kind of deflected those bullets and all of that kind of stuff. Pardon the pun there. You did pretty well in the hot seat, Dr. Dyer. So I'm really
Thank
excited.
You.
Yeah, great job. And welcome aboard officially.
to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Oh,
so
yeah.
This is just the beginning. Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. And I didn't know a few things. We learned a little bit about you this morning. You have your own way of thinking, and we just applaud you for that. And you're going to be able to shed a lot of light on things and different topics and things like that, the things that we have questions on and all of that. And I'm going to see if we can get a reunion on this show, get my dear brother on to talk about. You guys have a whole bunch to talk about on the air, so we're going to get you guys to do that right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show soon. And as far as this weekend, listen, this is it for the week. We just want to thank everybody for being on. It was a little bit of a tough week for me, but I'm on the way back. So by Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, I should be 100%. So we'll be back on Tuesday morning at 6 New York time. And Michael's on with the third episode of his second season. So he'll be on Tuesday at 8:30, particularly for his Vet Talk radio show. And then, of course, we've got Dr. Paul Dyer will be on with us Thursday, Friday of next week in the last hour, in the spotlight hour. And I'm real happy. We've got some other folks who will be joining us as well. We'll talk a little bit about fall fashion and some hair talk coming up as well the early part of next week. Entrepreneurs, get ready. We got a lot to get into about making money. We're going to talk about all that stuff Tuesday, Wednesday. And I just want to say thank you so much. Great job. This is just incredible stuff. So, Dr. Dyer, did you have fun today at least? Was it interesting?
I love it. You know, it's to me, it's about building community. And I just love being, and I like I said, I'm so very honored being part of your community. And I want to be... I want to be part of it. I don't want to be the furniture. I want to be part of it. I want to be the fabric, right? You know, we either can be the furniture or we can be the fabric, and I want to be the fabric. So I'm happy. I'm really super happy. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Well, you did a great job. You really did for coming into this arena, and so we're happy to have you, and we're going to learn a lot as well. Hopkins, great job this week, Michael Hopkins.
Thank you, Carrie.
We know that you, it's great to have you. What did you want to say, Michael?
Oh, I was just saying, this with Dr. Paul Dyer, this was just incredible. You know, one soldier to another soldier, this was just incredible. And I'm looking forward to just listening to him and interacting with him in the future shows.
Yes, and as well. All right, so we will be back here on Tuesday morning for a fresh, all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. And we'll be ready for you next week. You can bank on that. This was the subdued Carrie Hines. But we'll be ready to do battle next week. So definitely make it a great weekend, folks. Go to Hair Radio. Over the weekend, go to Upscale Radio, UpscaleMagazineRadio.com, if I can get it right, UpscaleMagazineRadio.com to listen to some of our classic hair radio shows and so much more over there. We'll be back live Tuesday morning back here at this 516 live number where you get to tune in and hear what we've got. I'm going to start the outro. We'll see you back here on Tuesday morning. Again, I'm Carrie Hines with Dr. Paul Dyer, special guest Michael Hopkins, and the entire Hair Radio Morning Show family. Make it a great weekend and a great Friday. We just did. We'll see you back.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network at www.hairradio.com.